State investigators backed by the New Mexico Department of Justice under Attorney General Raul Torres launched a full-scale search of the former Epstein estate.
The so-called Truth Commission seeks to identify ranch guests and state officials who may have known what was going on at the 7,600-acre property or taken part in alleged sexual abuse.
The fact of the matter was that he was basically doing anything he wanted in this state without any accountability whatsoever. And the ranch that exists out near Stanley, New Mexico, is basically on a two-lane highway in the middle of nowhere. It was him with an airstrip and a sprawling place that he brought folks to that we know very little, if nothing about.
Now renamed San Rafael Ranch and owned by Texas businessman Don Huffine since 2023, oddly enough.
This was obviously a dark place, and we wanted to put light in a dark place. It always shines the brightest when you do that.
Hang on a minute. Why did Republican Texas comptroller candidate Don Huffines, through his venture firm Hest Investments, pour $1.8 million into Secretome Therapeutics back in 2024, a biotech outfit pushing regenerative medicine with their lead product STM-01, derived from neonatal cardiac progenitor cells sourced from babies under 30 days old, specifically infant heart tissue from newborns with congenital defects undergoing surgery. Meanwhile, Huffine's family snapped up Jeffrey Epstein's notorious Zorro Ranch in New Mexico at public auction years after the notorious transhumanist's death. A Texas politician tied to Epstein property in New Mexico, who is now invested in transhumanist therapies, literally banking on infant hearts. Bizarre. Epstein openly discussed using the ranch as a base for outlandish eugenics-inspired schemes, including plans to impregnate multiple women with his DNA to seed an improved human race through artificial insemination and genetic engineering, ideas he pitched to scientists from the Santa Fe Institute and other elite circles he courted in New Mexico.
My name is Juliet Bryant. I was kidnapped by Jeffrey Epstein 22 years ago. A lot of frightening things happened there.
I went outside to have a cigarette. I saw these three lights, like in a triangle formation. Everything got weird. I felt very scared. But then what happened is I got locked out. I couldn't get back in. And that's also the time when I have that sort of flashback where I wake up paralyzed in a lab. There were six beings in hazmat suits around me. There's like a female doctor by my head.
It's okay. Everything is gonna be okay.
I think they were taking our eggs.
Whispers of even darker horrors have swirled around Zorro Ranch for years, fueled by an anonymous 2019 email purporting to come from a former staffer claiming that two foreign girls died by strangulation during rough fetish sex and were buried in the quiet hills nearby on orders from Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
In fact, there are records dating back to the mid-1990s of abuse happening at the ranch, including a report to the FBI in 1996 by a survivor and multiple other reports over the years. And one of the significant and important pieces of this case is to understand why justice was never pursued at the state, local, or federal level.
Zorro Ranch isn't short of strange. Back in July 2008, right as Epstein was checking into his cushy Florida jail suite for that sweetheart plea deal, his Zorro Trust suddenly clutched a $80 million winning Powerball ticket by none other than Bryce Gordon, Epstein's longtime ranch manager and the guy listed as trustee who signed off on the payout. The payout is confirmed by public records. Sounds more like a payoff. Epstein starts prison time and boom, his New Mexico playground gets an eight-figure cash infusion, likely to keep something very quiet. This renewed scrutiny could finally unearth long-buried truths or expose how deep the rot truly went in Epstein's empire of exploitation and delusion.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're all jumping on board with us today on this beautiful Thursday morning. A lot happening here that we're excited that you're jumping in on. Of course, you know, we've got a lot to chat about today. President Trump saying he knows where those Iranian Islamic sleeper cells are, but does he really? Because, well, we're going to kind of dispute that a bit, because DHS Secretary Kristi Noem was under oath and she said, we actually don't know where they are. And if you knew where they are, wouldn't you arrest them by now? Wouldn't you get DHS to take them out of the country? It's quite the interesting claim that's being made by the president. He's also claiming we won the war with Iran, but then he also said it's not a war with Iran. So it's all quite confusing. We'll dive into that in a little bit. By the way, the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, he actually just came out and said yesterday on Fox News that, all right, maybe they took the woke stuff a little too far. You don't say? You don't say. You got to hear this clip because it's interesting, because he keeps distancing himself from the woke movement. But the reality of it is he was one of the main operators behind everything. Now, it's interesting to sit back and watch. We've got the proof, though, that he's full of you-know-what. We look forward to giving that to you as well. Plus, there's a lot going on right now between President Trump's attorneys and New York AG Letitia James. The president's attorneys are demanding right now all of the internal communication with Letitia James and Michael Cohen. That's because Michael Cohen came out and said, all right, I was kind of into this big lie that the president was somehow, some way working with the administration. Was working with Tish James in giving that false lie and throwing him under the bus. Also, you might have missed it, but Matt Gaetz, his vault, his FBI vault, was actually just posted online. You know, we've been kind of sifting through it, and it's quite the interesting I can't even speak today, folks. This is what happens when you don't have caffeine in the morning. It's very, very interesting what we're learning this morning. Why? Well, because Matt Gaetz, it looks like it was a setup from what we could see so far. Now, it's heavily redacted documents. We've kind of sifted through it. We'll bring you the very latest on that front. But it's really frustrating because, you know, Matt Gaetz told you that he was being targeted, and it looks to be true. Plus, President Trump is going off on the Kentucky congressman, Mr. Thomas Massie. We'll play a clip for you yesterday because it's interesting when you watch the back and forth between two. Massie's not really going after the president directly, right? He'll go out there and talk about the Epstein files, but he doesn't call the president names. I haven't really seen any of that. But President Trump yesterday was fired up about him. And then also the president had a rally yesterday in Kentucky. We'll play that clip for you as well. Plus, I got a lot more going on in the show today. We got a lot to dig into. Sarah Adams, as many of you guys know, she was formerly with the CIA. She's out here warning the American people about a potential Al-Qaeda terror attack that could be happening on U.S. soil. She's been sifting through all the information that they make publicly available, and she wants the American people to know exactly what's going on. So let's dive into the top of the program today. We're going to give you that update regarding what's happening right now in Iran. President Trump spoke yesterday, like I mentioned, at that rally in Kentucky. We'll play a couple clips from that.
But most importantly, actually had a very busy day yesterday. The president yesterday declared that we've actually officially won our war against Iran in clip one. Take a listen.
Is that a great name? Well, it's only good if you win. You know, you can only do. And we've won. Let me say, we've won. You know, you never like to say too early you won. We won. We won the bet. In the first hour, it was over. But we won. But they gave me a list of names in general. Sir, you can pick the name you'd like, sir. I said, the name of what? The name of the attack on Iran, sir. And they gave me like 20 names. And I'm like falling asleep. I didn't like any of them. Then I see Epic Fury. I said, I like that name. I like that name.
Yeah, he likes that name. By the way, the White House not saying that we actually had a full-on war with Iran or we're having a full-on war with Iran. It's quite strange, the language that's being used right now. It's a bit of a back and forth. But again, I mean, the president saying that that's why he picked the name. That's why he picked the name. Listen to the president in clip two, specifically now how he's detailing what happened. Again, I don't even know what to call it at this point. But the president also clarifying how we could all refer to it in clip two. Take a listen.
You just said it is a little excursion and you said it is a war. So which one is it?
Well, it's both. It's both. It's an excursion that will keep us out of a war. And the war is going to be, I mean, for them, it's a war. For us, it's turned out to be easier than we thought.
I mean, it did. According to reports, all the targets have been pretty much hit in Iran. That was Axios reporting just that. So it's been very successful in that sense. Now, I know a lot of our audience, obviously, is not supportive of this. And again, I you guys know my opinion on this. But a lot of us are very concerned in regards to the potential sleeper cells that, obviously, the Biden regime released into this country. Now, I've given you numbers. I've spoken to DHS. They gave us the figures as well. When it comes to the amount of, again, suspected known terrorists into this country that were released, you could just kind of figure that based on the numbers that were given to us by Joe Kent, and then if you run it by the numbers that were handed to me by DHS, we've only captured about 7.8% of those known and suspected terrorists that were released into the country by the Biden regime. As a result of that, now the FBI, this is why I'm always like a little iffy because, you know, I don't really trust the FBI. But the FBI is actually warning local law enforcement agencies in California to prepare potentially for there to be an attack launched by any sleeper cells in their region. Take a listen to clip three in the report that was just released by ABC News.
The FBI warning of possible Iranian drone attacks on our homeland, a new alert reviewed by ABC News revealing Iran's aspirations to conduct a surprise attack specifically against unspecified targets in California. The FBI saying it's warned police departments across the Golden State now of strikes by unmanned aerial vehicles or drones as tensions rise in the Middle East. Let's get straight to our chief investigative correspondent, Aaron Kantursky. Aaron, what are you learning?
We've reviewed an alert that came within the last couple of weeks, Kira, just recently from the FBI to law enforcement agencies up and down the California coastline, warning that Iran is aspiring now to perhaps launch some kind of a retaliatory attack on the U.S. mainland using drones on the West Coast. The alert that we reviewed said an uncorroborated report suggested that unidentified Mexican cartel leaders had authorized attacks using drones carrying explosives, so they know that capability exists. And the separate alert that we've reviewed, Kira, says that Iran has those same kinds of aspirations. So the U.S. has broadly known for some time that drones could be deployed against the homeland. We know that Iran has been using drones significantly in this 12-day-old war with the United States. That's what killed the first six U.S. service members in this war. But now the FBI is specifically warning police agencies in California along the Pacific coastline that Iran is aspiring to use them to attack in the West.
So why California? Why the West?
Good question. And that's not exactly clear, but perhaps there's thought that Iran has these things pre-positioned on ships that are still in international waters or that could float through international waters. We know that we've previously reported, Kira, on Iran's desire to perhaps activate sleeper cells in the United States, although that's certainly far from confirmed or far from anything operational as far as law enforcement knows. It's not clear why the West Coast as opposed to the East Coast, but that's what the alert from the FBI says.
All right.
All right, that's the messaging coming out right now from the FBI, and obviously ABC News grabbing that story first. Now, we've been talking about this here on InfoWars since the attacks launched. I know, you know, it was a weekend, obviously, when it took place. Alex and I both sat down, went through all the information that I was getting from those sources internally over the federal government, and a lot of them were very concerned about this. So now it's interesting, again, folks, it's hitting the mainstream media over a week and a half late, but that's exactly why you're watching this program, because we have the information before anyone else. Now, I want to make sure we drive this point home. When we sift through all the information, obviously Americans are deeply concerned about this issue. The president was asked about it. He's been asked repeatedly. He's been asked now so far two times. We played yesterday one of those clips for you, but we're going to play this other clip, because yesterday, again, he was asked about it in clip four. Take a listen.
Years that way. And if they try to hit us back, have you been briefed about how many Iran sleeper cells there could be inside the U.S. right now?
I have been, and a lot of people came in through Biden with this stupid open border. But we know where most of them are. We've got our eye on all of them, I think.
If it doesn't...
They came in through the open border policies of sleepy Joe Biden. One of the worst president in the history of our country. And we've got our eyes on all of them. But the war itself is being prosecuted at a level that nobody's seen before. It's pretty amazing to watch.
The president saying they have their eyes on all of them. Now, here's the problem with all of that. As many of you guys know, earlier this month, we covered the testimony that was being given by the DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. She testified in front of the Senate, and then the following day, she testified in front of the House. Now, that was the Judiciary Committee for both of those chambers. Now, listen here. Listen here. Because on March 3rd, Kristi Noem was asked about this by Senator Lindsey Graham. And this is the one that perked up my ears when we heard it on this show in clip five. Take a listen.
Of people on the terrorist watch list to come into this country. In 2023, 172. Do you know where those people are?
No, not necessarily.
So we don't know where they are. They're here, but we don't know where they are.
We don't know where they are. That's what the DHS secretary said. And then shortly after that, she was demoted, and she's now losing her position as the secretary of DHS. Now, again, a lot of people are saying that's due to the financial questions that are being brought about right now. But I would say that statement probably got the president fired up. Why? Well, because he launched the attacks against Iran. And if you didn't know where these sleeper cells were and they do attack, well, that falls, a lot of that falls on the president. So that could possibly be one angle to all of this. Also, keep in mind, the reason why I believe Kristi Noem when she's telling us that they don't know where they are is Kristi Noem is under oath. So there's a lot of reasons why she wouldn't want to lie when speaking about the issue. Keep in mind, folks, we're dealing with the DHS partial shutdown right now. And we did get some good news yesterday. Our federal air marshals, we just talked about on this show with Sonny Labasco, they will now be paid. But a lot of these federal agents won't be paid, which is going to result, as you see so far with TSA, of massive amounts of resignations being handed over and people taking off so they could get other sources of income. That's going to happen. So how does this work out for our national security here on the homeland? Now, obviously, you and I both know that DHS does have a conglomerate of wasteful agencies under its belt. We know that. But the objective of DHS is obviously, and we hope it still is, to protect the homeland. So why would we do all of this? It's still, the timeline just doesn't seem to make any sense. And as we sit around and we wait for the potential of a Islamic terror attack here on the homeland, we saw what happened in Austin, Texas. Again, by the way, we're still not allowed to talk about the motive. When these law enforcement agencies detail specifically what that Islamic terrorist was wearing that day, which obviously was property of Allah, was the hoodie, and underneath that hoodie was a Iranian flag shirt. when I went to his social media pages, it was quite obvious who he was backing. The Iranian regime was all over his page when it came to his stories prior to launching that terror attack. But again, they won't exactly connect the dots for you. These law enforcement agencies won't tell you what the motive is. They're still investigating. So hold off a little bit. No, it's quite obvious what's going on here. And it's not even just the foreign terrorists that we imported over these last few years with the Biden regime occupying the White House. It's also domestic. We saw what happened, obviously, in New York City as well. And if you talk to experts like Amy Mack and others, they'll tell you that actually the most threatening ones are the ones that are domestic. They're being radicalized and sent over to places like Turkey, Saudi Arabia. Then they come back into our country and we don't suspect it because they're American citizens. So it's one thing that you should really keep your eye on. Another thing, too, is what General Flynn is warning about in clip six. Take a listen.
There's some reporting now of some communications that apparently have been intercepted about waking up some of these sleeper cells right here in America. So when we talk about this war is not going to be just isolated to the Persian Gulf or Iran or even some of the Middle Eastern countries that you just stated and you have on the screen here, like when we talk about Lebanon or Iraq or Jordan or Abu Dhabi or UAE, et cetera. I do think that we're going to see an expansion of it. They may not be as strong as they once were because, of course, their Navy's been destroyed. Now they're continuing, Israel and the United States is continuing to pound on their ballistic missile capability. But the Iranian military is a powerful, powerful military, and I'm not sure we've even touched on their conventional ground force capabilities. I mean, they have a large artillery capability. They have a very, very extensive military, and hopefully some of these people in the conventional Iranian military will turn on the government and join the protesters, but I want people to understand that these guys have had like 40 plus years to prepare for this kind of thing. And they're not this is not a third world country at all. This is a very sophisticated country. They have clearly their problems ideologically, but.
As you see there, General Flynn is someone who you could trust when it comes to these types of issues and the subject matter too. He's been warning about the Islamic threat here on the homeland for quite some time. It's actually been one of his focuses these days. As he continues to go around the country warning Americans about the threat here on the home front. So very interesting to hear his perspective again. It's interesting because we'll hear from the mainstream reports that we've taken out the bulk of the military in Iran, and then you hear from General Flynn disputing those claims. So just something to keep in the back of your minds and just to remember. I want to shift gears a little bit. As many of you guys know, the president is very, very focused on passing the Save America Act. And I think every American gets it, besides those who are just far left, and they'll just never understand the idea of voter IDs. But the bulk of Americans, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, understand that you should have to verify your U.S. citizenship before weighing in on our federal elections. It is, in fact, common sense. Why? Well, because you don't want foreigners to interfere in our elections. And while the Democrats continue to go out there and say, there's no such thing as illegal aliens voting in our elections, there's still the same group of people who will not hand over their voter rolls to the DOJ's Civil Rights Division because they don't want you seeing exactly how many illegals they've put on their voter rolls. If illegals weren't voting in our elections, then why do you think they imported millions of them over the last, 4 years of the Biden regime? There was a reason for it. There was a reason for it. That's why they specifically flew those individuals on private jets, whatever you want to call them, commercial flights. They literally went to countries like Haiti and just flew them directly into the Midwest, into regions that they would never be in before, prior to any of this. You know, Ohio, we talked about Ohio extensively. Ohio saw a significant amount of illegal aliens shifted over to them. Why? Well, because obviously this is all about voting. This is all about changing demographics throughout this country. And they didn't bring in people who were highly educated, who had backgrounds where they can contribute to our society. They intentionally went to countries where people were just poorly educated. Why? Because they would rely on our system, our welfare system, to carry them through. And that's exactly why they did all of this. This is all about the long game here, folks. This isn't a 4-year plan. This isn't a 10-year plan. They understand that when you import these people and you import them by the millions, they're going to be able to get their way on a lot of things. Now, hear me out. While we sift through all of this, obviously, there's rumors that the administration, DHS, aren't doing mass deportations anymore. And I've reached out to DHS for comment on that, asking specifically for the figures of how many apprehensions are they getting per day now. When I do hear back from DHS, I'll bring you that figure. But the reality of it is, folks, is we're hearing all over the place that they're not doing mass deportations. Now, the White House yesterday did give me comment, and specifically they said that they're still going after illegal aliens that are criminals. Aren't all illegal aliens criminals, though? Again, the wording very confusing, and I hope they don't just mean the violent illegal aliens, because millions were brought into this country for the reason of changing this country. So let's shift back to the Save America Act. Lisa Murkowski is another one who we all know about. Obviously, she's a Republican from Alaska. She was confronted yesterday by a reporter from Liddell TV in clip 7. Hear how that one went.
Where do you stand on the Save America Act? Do you, support getting this legislation passed to protect elections?
Not as it is drafted, no.
Why not?
The implementation in a rural state like Alaska is going to disenfranchise an extraordinary majority. And while I support citizenship voting and voting ID, I want to make sure that it's implementable.
But she didn't give us any details as to where her problems all lie. Isn't that interesting when they do this, though? Isn't that interesting? They never really specifically tell you where their problems are in all of this. We hear Democrats, though. Democrats are saying, oh, well, women won't be able to vote because women, once you get married, your birth certificate's different from your, you change last name, so your birth certificate won't match. Doesn't make any sense, folks. Doesn't make any sense. Obviously, women will have to get new documents. It's common sense. It's common sense. But this is the nonsense that they're pushing, and obviously people like Lisa Murkowski are going to be the ones backing behind all of this. Why? Well, because she's another one. She's another one. You know, Project Veritas actually did an incredible job years ago after going after her and exposing her for the election issues that she was having in Alaska. She's one of the many people where you just scratch your head wondering, how did you get here? How did you get here? And obviously we all have our suspicions. But people like her are controlling the wheel right now, and this is the problem with all of this. And the president, I know he's really pushing for the filibusters to be tossed out. Obviously, he wants to push through the Save America Act. And there are other things that he's pushing for. The fact that we have to beg and plead these Republican, so-called Republican lawmakers to do their jobs and to back the president's agenda is absolutely disgraceful. But that's where we are on all of this. Folks, we have a lot more to dive into in just a little bit. I want to remind you, though, if you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, we just launched iodine over at thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off if you're a VIP member right now. And if you're not a VIP member, well, we'll still extend a discount to you, 25% off for everyone else, of course. And then we also have, for a limited time, this actually ends tomorrow, the America 250 t-shirts, the limited edition shirt. It's actually 60% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to stop what you're doing and head on over there before we run out. And again, we also have our March mega sale going on right now. So some of your favorite supplements are up to 40% off. That includes NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, and so many other supplements. So stop what you're doing right now. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That's where you're going to find it, of course. And if you haven't done it already, well, make sure you do this as well. AlexJonesApp.com. Make sure you download the app. It's how you stay in touch with us. Regardless of whatever happens here, we're going to be shifting our efforts over to the next project, and that is how you stay in touch with us over at alexjonesapp.com. All right, more to discuss in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is, scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
why parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I went and did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Waking up America one narrative at a time. Brianna Morello is live on the American Journal right now on band.video and x.com.
Welcome back. American Journal, we're excited all jumping on board with us today. There was big news yesterday in Texas. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton put out an incredible letter. And this letter, though, has to do with the Islamic takeover of Texas. And he's pushing back. And he's one of the very few who was bold enough to jump on this at the very early stages of what was happening in Texas. But Ken Paxton is now telling the Collin County Commissioner, the group of them, that when it comes to EPIC, now we've talked about that before, it's the East Plano Islamic Center, or if you want to call it the Meadow, that's their new PR stunt that they do these days. He wants them to reject any application submitted by developers. And this is key, because folks, I've talked about this extensively. I sat through these hearings. I've sat as they try to plead their case with the Collin County judge, trying to advocate to develop on the property that they purchased. And obviously that's being called into question on how they were able to acquire that land. But folks, Ken Paxton stepping in and says reject it, because right now he's investigating the group and he doesn't want any of this happening in Texas right now. Joining me to discuss is Amar. Let me just make sure I'm pronouncing this right. More to
Pronounce your last name for me.
Amir Mordozavi.
Mordozavi. Yeah. I should have done this before we started, but thank you for joining me. He's a healthcare entrepreneur, an Iranian-American, and we're honored to have him on the program today because there's a lot here to dive into. And, you know, Amir, I want to kind of talk about this because this is the part that I think so many people here in the great state of Texas are fired up about. We've sat back and watched as Texas is kind of grifting away and kind of turning away towards it. It's a Christian state. I mean, you could see it when you're driving around. The churches are everywhere.
Absolutely.
But now we're dealing with an Islamic takeover. But we're seeing Ken Paxton. He's jumping in this fight and he's pushing back. What's your take on the message that Ken Paxton put out yesterday?
Yeah, I think it's a great one. I think having been, you know, a victim of an Islamic regime from, you know, the country that I was born in and, you know, being able to come to America, I'm very sensitive on that issue. And I think Ken is doing what he's always done, is protecting Texans, protecting Americans. And, you know, their plan, and if you go back to like 1991 when they found this doctrine about the Islamic Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, I apologize. They had a plan to infiltrate, populate, dominate, never assimilate, and create a caliphate. So that's their plan. And these communities that they want to implement Sharia law in is just unconstitutional. It's against our constitution. It's against Texas constitution. It's just, there's no way that they can do it. And they're finding ways to use our freedoms against us to infiltrate and create these communities. Whereas they've left countries that wouldn't give them any of the freedoms that they have currently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like 85% of all refugees throughout the world are Muslim.
Yeah.
And where do they go to? Where do they seek refuge? Not in Muslim countries, not in the 56 Muslim designated countries. So they come to the U.S. Texas is kind of a economic opportunity for really anybody. If you can't build a business in Texas, I mean, you can build up, anybody can build a business in Texas and it'll be, you know, very, successful. They're coming here, starting businesses, creating communities, opening mosques. And it's just like, you know, for me, it's like PTSD. It's like Iran, you know, 45 years ago.
Yeah. And you fled Iran when you were a kid. And so that's the key point. We're going to get to that in a little bit.
But yeah, absolutely.
That's the horrifying part in all of this. And, you know, I show up to these hearings. I try to watch what's happening. And, you know, in Collin County, that's where I am these days. We watch as they shuffle in these attorneys, these PR companies to represent them. And it doesn't look like, when you're just watching from the outside looking in, it doesn't look like these are Muslim groups that are coming in to purchase this land at first. Obviously, a lot of the times they're using Christian groups. They're using these LLCs, which are Chinese based too. And then they quickly swap them over to these Islamic LLCs. And then rapidly they try to build up on these pieces of land that they've purchased. I think Epic alone is like 400 acres.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's huge. And that's the issue here. You know, the big argument when I sat on the most recent hearing in Collin County was in front of the judge, who's Chris Hill, who did an incredible job, I think, at being as fair and balanced as possible. It's Chris Hill. You know, there's a lot of obviously Christian conservatives who showed up and wanted to speak during this hearing. And Chris Hill did a great job of reminding those who did show up, like, listen, we're not debating on whether or not you agree with Islam. We're debating on whether or not, because it's obviously a freedom of religion argument. Like you said, they use our own constitution against us.
Right.
He tried to get them to go back to the conversation of, well, they have purchased this 400 acres and they want to develop and create this little Muslim compound on this property. Do we have the infrastructure to support that? And he tried bringing it back to that core argument, not because he doesn't agree with the religion angle to all of this, but he's trying to remind people that if this ever gets brought to a higher court, essentially, it won't go well for them because they're trying to argue religion. Now, obviously, you're very familiar with Islam. Would you argue that Islam is a religion? Because that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I just want to clarify something. Mm-hmm. I have very good friends and business partners that are Muslim.
Yeah.
And I would say they're more reformed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the main difference, I think, well, there's many differences, but one of the big differences between current Islam and Christianity is that Christianity is about 500 years older, right? So they've gone through a whole reformation. Islam hasn't, but the Muslims that are here in the U.S. that are assimilating to, you know, U.S. values and not being so rigid with, you know, the Quran is a violent book if you read it. You know, I think there's like 124 calls to violence in the book, and just comparing, you know, Muhammad versus Jesus, they couldn't be more dissimilar. You know, you've got someone that, you know, practices patience and, you know, love your enemies, whereas, you know, in Islam, they say, you know, kill the infidels, you know, leaving the faith is punishable by death. Mm-hmm. It's just, they're two extreme, extreme opposites. And so, like I said, I think you can have reformed Muslims that come to the U.S. and assimilate to, you know, I say U.S. values, mm-hmm. separation of church and state. And that's one thing that Islam in general can't do. You know, there's no separation of church and state. That's the main issue with, even if they're reformed Muslims, you're still beholden to the combination of church and state. So the like in Iran, an example, the Ayatollahs, the Imams, they run everything. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to be religious leaders, but they're running the country,
like yeah.
politics. The way, I would say, similar to the way the Roman Catholic Church did, the Pope did, mm-hmm. in like the 16th century.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing. So what we just saw in New York City, for an example, we saw that these were, I believe, one of the families from the ISIS-inspired terrorist attack. Now, this is allegations. Again, they have not had their fair day in court, so we'll have to hold off on and just say suspected currently. But one of the families came from Turkey. The other family, I believe, came from Afghanistan. Yeah. And these are American-born individuals, these teenagers. What are your thoughts on this? Because people like Amy Mack, who's obviously an expert on the issue, she's studied it extensively throughout Europe and then here in the United States. She says that this is probably one of the greater threats, not those that we brought in over these last 4 years, but the people who are domestic, yeah. Who are actual American citizens, those are the ones that she fears the most.
Yeah, and like, you know, I would say, if you want to compare it to how Mossad plays the long game, mm-hmm. like they have probably agents that are in Iran, they're probably school teachers and whatever, but they're loyal to the, you know, state of Israel. I'd say it'd be very similar for, you know, any of the Islamic terrorist groups that Iran has been the biggest supporter of.
Yeah.
I mean, not just Hamas, right? The Islamic Brotherhood, Boko Haram. I mean, they've given all the money that the Democrats gave Iran. They used to fund their terror campaigns for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So I do think also that, you know, from a politics standpoint, if you take out the political Islam, mm-hmm. it's absolutely compatible with the West. It's just that separation of church and state, right? Like, they left their countries. I'm talking about the Islamists, not the Muslims. Muslims, I'm fine with. But the Islamists that come here and they had religious persecution in, like, say, Afghanistan, mm-hmm. or Iran, and they come here, and then they're like, they use our freedoms against us. They want to, you know, open these epic centers with Sharia law. They want women to cover up, you know, like, for me, that irks me. When I see a woman that's covered head to toe, freedom of religion is fine. I'm just like, if you didn't like, if you like to be dressed like this, you know, there's a country and a place for that.
Yeah.
Here, you can dress however you want. But when I see it kind of in the masses, it's kind of this Islamification of Texas and the United States.
Yeah, it's actually quite scary. When I came to Dallas 10 years ago just to visit, I love Dallas. And I was, when I first got the opportunity to go and move, I was all on board for it. So I moved about a year ago, and I completely changed from what I was used to 10 years ago. And you're just walking around enjoying your time. And it's just such a significant difference over these last 5 years that it's really alarming. I want to shift it over a little bit, though, because when it comes to all of this, there's politicians that allowed this to happen. And Ken Paxton, before the polling came out, was the first one jumping on this and trying to fight back for the state of Texas. And I think that's really important. And people like John Cornyn, who's the U.S. senator right now, is being challenged by Paxton. He was never really on board for any of this. In fact, there was a video, and I keep posting and sharing because I think it's hilarious, where he's wishing everyone a happy Ramadan, and it's just not organic. It doesn't sound authentic when he's doing this.
Yeah.
He just seems to be doing it because he's trying to appease those who are now living in Texas.
And he says, inshallah.
I know. And
which means God willing.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah. I don't think he realizes any of this, though, but he's speaking out on the issue. But is he really, and that's kind of like the point here where I just don't seem to understand now. Obviously, you know, you and I met during Ken Paxton's party that he was having over in Dallas. And it was interesting to watch because I honestly thought he was going to win that night. But now we're in the middle of a heated runoff race. And obviously, President Trump putting a little bit of pressure, saying whoever I endorse is great. Whoever I don't endorse should drop out of the race, because obviously there's been tons of money spent on Cornyn's side to keep him in this. Obviously, we talk about it. It's $100 million it cost him to get into the runoff. Ken Paxton, I think, spent like $4 million. So obviously that's significantly less. But most importantly, Ken Paxton kind of gave an ultimatum, and he's like, listen, if Cornyn and the Senate could get rid of the filibuster and eliminate that and also pass the Save America Act, I'll just drop out of the runoff race. In fact, there was a New York Times article that actually confirmed. Apparently it's true, but Ken Paxton sent that in a text message directly to President Trump. So President Trump knew that that's what he was doing. No word if there was a response from the president. But what do you make of all of this? Because Cornyn's awful for Texas.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's time for definitely a Senate change there. Yeah. And I'm very supportive of Ken. I think he's a warrior. I think he's a fighter. And I think he's exactly what we need in Washington for us. I think that Ken is playing a little bit of, you know, political chess, too.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, he wants what's best for Texas. And so, you know, putting that narrative out there, I think, you know, gives Cornyn really balls in your court. Like,
yeah.
What are you going to do? Like, I'm trying to do everything I can for Texas. You know, if you do the same, I'll happily drop out.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening, but I think it's genius.
Well, we played a clip yesterday too of Cornyn, like, getting confronted by a journalist, over at NBC News. And in the clip, he actually didn't even know what his op-ed in the New York Post sounded like, what even said, because he was
I saw that clip as well.
Yeah, it was so crazy. I'm like, did you write it? Or was there a ghostwriter involved in this? Like, how do you not know I mean, he's a very unlikable person, so I'd assume that they'd have to get somebody to write it for him. But then he released, and we're going to play this. I want to play the clip that he just actually, it's a campaign ad, and it's him taking a swipe at Ken Paxton and the Ten Commandments. Take a listen to clip 17.
What do a burner phone, a $1,000 Mont Blanc pen, and this cash machine have in common? They are symbols of Ken Paxton's depravity. Paxton used a burner phone and an alias to hide his affair from the mother of his children. Now his wife's divorcing him on biblical grounds.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
A Mont Blanc pen stolen from another lawyer because once a crook, always a crook.
Thou shalt not steal.
And while in office, Crooked Ken increased his net worth by up to 7,000%, then used that fortune to buy 10 properties and claimed 3 of them as his principal residence to get cheaper mortgage rates.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Judgment Day comes for all of us eventually. This year, in Texas, Ken Paxton faces the voters.
Defeat the crook.
I'm John Cornyn, and I approve this message. Join my team and give today.
He's obviously a very unlikable person, and that ad just highlights that.
That ad reminds me of that movie, The Campaign, with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis. Like, it's about a congressional race in, like, North Carolina, and it's just the same type of stuff. It's like, you know, I approve this message, and it's just ridiculous. I can't believe that they think that's going to move the needle with voters.
I don't think he understands what the pulse of Texas is right now,
no,
and I think he thinks that's
not
a good one. Well, that's and I don't like politicizing. You know, if you have marital problems, like that's something you deal in private. The fact that he's putting it on blast is just so. There's children involved, grandchildren.
Yeah.
You don't do those things. But John Cornyn is obviously not only just unlikable, but obviously someone who lacks a moral compass himself. And so to take these little jabs at Ken is absolutely disgraceful.
I think so too. And I think, you know, like, whatever your marital situation is, mm-hmm. You know, I think irrelevant to, you know, how you can do a job.
Yeah.
Right. So let's separate, you know, the two right then and there, right? It's like politics, religion, separate church and state, separate their personal life and their marital life with their, you know, because things happen. I mean, people fall apart, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, that was political theater at its best. I can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
Like, who, I want to know the guy that was sitting in the tank saying, like, I think this is a really good ad.
I don't think he's ever gotten out of the tank. Cause I don't think he realizes that most Americans, they understand that we've all made mistakes. We've all sinned. And I don't think anyone's going to sit there and go, all right, well, I'm better than Ken. I mean, it's just so disgraceful, that they would do just that. But again, I think a lot of this has been politicized from the beginning to go after him, but he knows this better than anyone. I mean, they tried getting him removed as AG just because he stood over President Trump. I mean, he went after, those blue states that did their very best to manipulate our election in 2020. And as a result of that, I mean, they piled up on him. So it's kind of crazy. I mean, he's been very loyal to President Trump.
Absolutely. And, you know, the primary tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
You know, 4 million versus 100 million. And, you know, barely, you know, it went to a runoff, but I'm saying it was like, you know, a few points that would have made the difference. And, you know, Ken Paxton would have been going as the general election.
Yeah.
But I'm very hopeful. I think we're going to win. I think the Texas voters are going to come out for the runoff. I think they're going to do a great job. I think the campaign's on the right track, and I'm looking forward to May. I think it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a great one. I'll be back there. I cannot wait for that to take place. I want to switch over a little bit because we talked about in the open of the show in regards to the Islamic threat here and the homeland. Specifically, though, Hezbollah, obviously, and Hamas. Now, the Biden regime allowed there just to be an open border, and obviously we were flooded with known and suspected terrorists, and we've gone over the data itself. But the former DHS acting secretary, Chad Wolf, actually spoke out on this issue in Clip 18 yesterday. Let's take a listen.
How bad is the possible terror network here in America?
Well, it's bad, right? We talked about 4 years of the Biden administration. So over the course of 4 years, you had over 11 to 12 million individuals come into the United States, over 18,000 known or suspected terrorists, right? The National Counterterrorism Center just testified about that. Over 18,000 known or suspected terrorists tried to enter the country during Joe Biden's tenure, and a variety of them made it in. And so you combine that with the existing networks of Hamas, Hezbollah, and other proxies that have been here in the United States since the 80s, more or less, and it starts to paint a picture of a real kind of heightened risk and threat environment. Now, we have an outstanding law enforcement apparatus, FBI, Joint Terrorism Task Forces, and other things that keep the American people safe, but we're asking so much of them because we don't know who really is in the country, because I said it at the time, and I think we're facing it right now, is the 4 years of the Biden administration, we won't really know the destructive nature of their immigration policies for years and years to come. And I think we are staring down the barrel of that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know. And I had to sue DHS, and I won to find out how bad it was. I mean, they literally let convicted sex offenders into our country and fly on commercial airlines without IDs. I mean, it was really, really bad. Amir, I want to kind of, you know, get your take on all of this, because obviously the president launched his attacks against Iran and they've been successful from his perspective in all of this. What do you make of the threat here on the homeland?
Yeah, I think it's there's definitely, you know, it's a very high threat of some type of cell, you know, just based on the regime's history of brutality and terrorism. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, no countries have come to their aid, really. I think the terrorist organizations that they funded will, and I think everyone needs to be on high alert. The thing about Iran is they've had 47 years to plan for this. So it's not Venezuela. It's not a third world country. They have a sophisticated, well, not compared to the U.S., but they have a real military, right? There's probably, I'd say, 2 to 3 million people, depending on what reports you believe, that are loyal, you know, military-aged men and women that are loyal to the Islamic regime in Iran. You know, it's a very small portion of the population, you know, maybe 4%, but those are the people we have to worry about, and everything else that they can, you know, bring to the U.S., you know, whether it's through Canada. I know they do a lot of stuff with through Canada with the terrorist groups in terms of getting them in. I mean, we always talk about the southern border. The northern border is, you can just walk through it, you know.
Yeah.
Just say, I'm going to get pancakes or maple syrup. And so we have to be very aware of our surroundings, being aware of what could potentially happen. And I think we have the right administrative team to kind of shepherd us through that. You know, I think the FBI is, you know, doing what they can, Department of State, State Department. I think we need to see what happens. It's sad because what's happening in Iran, you know, Iran's been basically in a war every 20 years, right? Like when the Islamic regime took over, Iraq thought they could invade Iran. Millions of Iranians died in that war. We were able to fight Saddam off. Then, you know, last year with the bunker busters that took out the nuclear facilities, you know, somebody told me the other day that Iran had spent $2 trillion on uranium enrichment. Think about the money that could have gone to, you know, schools and parks and their economy. It's just, it's a very sad situation for the people in Iran. I'm praying for them. I hope they come out of this, okay. And I hope they, you know, take sovereignty for their country. They need to be the catalyst. They need to be the ones that overthrow it. Ground troops isn't going to work. I think we learned a lesson with Afghanistan and Iraq. you know, as far as the U.S. involvement. But here we all have to be on high alert. You know, things can happen anytime. Just yesterday I was across the street from that that bar in Austin that was where that shooting happened a couple days after the attacks on Iran started. And, you know, I've walked by that bar many times. It's like right on the corner of 6th Street. It's very sad. So we have to be careful. And I don't think that guy had any ties to Iran. I think he was just an Islamist.
Yeah.
So I'm less worried about what the Iranian Islamic regime is planning. I'm more worried about these like lookalikes and copycats and Islamists that are just sitting around in, you know, Spokane, Washington or Houston, Texas or Miami, Florida and, you know, what they can do.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious that this is obviously, I think it's someone who probably acted independently. I scoped through his social media. I never posted any of the clips from his social media because he's obviously very radical and he's trying to inspire others to do what he was doing.
Yeah. Don't give him oxygen.
Yeah. So I keep it to myself. I just recorded everything and put it in a folder. But people like him, obviously, I think that the independent Islamists are the ones that I do fear because obviously they are acting independently. But I think a lot of Americans are worried that there might be an October 7th here on the homeland, and that could be obviously very scary. But I mean, we also heard the reports that the administration has intercepted a lot of their private conversations. So that's a little refreshing on that front. I want to keep diving into all of this, go into the history of Iran with you as well, because obviously your family is well versed on that. And thank God you guys were able to flee and make it here to the United States. So we'll dive into that. We'll also talk about the issues with our healthcare system, but more specifically the health insurance industry. Obviously, you're someone who's well-versed on the issue.
Very much so.
Yeah, so we're going to dive into that in just a little bit. Folks, I wanted to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we just launched the iodine over at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're a VIP member, which I think everyone should be, because when you are a VIP member, you're supporting our work over at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, we say thank you to you by extending some discounts, and you're going to get 50% off this item for our VIPs only. But if you're not a VIP member, we still support you and we still appreciate you. So we're going to give you 25% for everyone else. And it's not just that. We have so many great sales right now. The America 250 t-shirt, the limited edition shirt, is actually on sale 60% off. And that's going to last until Friday. So that means you're going to get it for $14.99 over at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, we still have our March mega sale going on right now. Some of your favorite supplements up to 40% off. That includes NAD+, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS Gummies, MK Ultra, and so many incredible products over at the shop. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And let me remind you folks, if you haven't done so already, you gotta do it right now. We never know when those front doors are going to lock. That means you gotta stop what you're doing and head on over to the Alex Jones app, alexjonesapp.com. You see it on your screen. That's where you gotta go to download the app. Again, our next operation, if that door does shut, will be over at alexjonesapp.com. And so make sure you have it downloaded on your phone so you don't miss out on anything. Again, alexjonesapp.com. All right, more happening in just a second. Don't go anywhere.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, We haven't had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theofficialstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theofficialstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
I wanted to bring you this clip. It was crazy. Yesterday, I was actually watching Fox News, and there was somebody very familiar on the network. Larry Fink, you've probably heard of him before. He's the BlackRock CEO. I know a lot of members of our audience probably aren't thrilled to hear his name, of course, but it was quite the interesting discussion given the fact that he was asked by Brett Baer, which I think was a great question to be asked, about the woke agenda and how he was obviously, I mean, he was the one pushing it, but he's trying his very best to distance himself from it. Take a listen.
Do you believe the woke era, a failed experiment, the ESG, the DEI, the kind of push for that? That when you talk about things now, you talk in a practical sense, what we can do, what we can get done. Looking back at that, how do you see it?
Society moves, the pendulum moves all the time. In BlackRock's cases, you know, we are responsible for managing money for everybody. And even today, as you said, maybe these, you know, renewables are less talked about it. I can tell you right now, we have many investors worldwide are investing in renewables, trying to emphasize solar and other things like that. They're trying to, we're working with Occidental Petroleum right now to building the best carbon capture factories in Texas right now. So do I believe the pendulum 5 years ago was too far? Yes.
You do.
Do I believe we're more you know, I'm personally more pragmatic too. And I believe.
But do you think BlackRock pushed some companies a little bit further left than you thought?
It was never our intention because our job is to be, I gotta be a fiduciary to everybody who gives us money. Our responsibility, Brett, is to making sure if one of our investors wants to invest 100% in hydrocarbons in Texas, I'm investing 100% of the money in Texas. But if another state fund wants us to invest in, let's say, all green energy, we're gonna do that. It's their money. But today, because of AI, and the overwhelming need for power and electricity, it can't just be one way right now. It can't just be hydrocarbons. If you see what China is doing right now, China is rapidly building more nuclear than any other country in the world. They have the largest solar fields in the world, yet they're the biggest importer of gas and oil. And so to me, more importantly today.
Let me step in on this
today,
because obviously he's trying to dance around the subject matter, and the subject matter is, why are you such a liberal hack trying to push corporations into jumping on the woke agenda? And he pretends, you know, distances himself and to pretend like he wasn't the one pushing for it. But we know he was pushing for it. We actually know that he was pushing to change the behaviors of corporations. Why? Well, because there's obviously clips of him talking about just that, like clip 9. Take a listen.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change. And this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors. And at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
Ah, well, the truth finally did come out. They were forcing behaviors. They were doing the social credit score thing that we all tell you about. This is the reality behind it, folks. Larry Fink, obviously, in my opinion, is a very evil, evil man who has pushed a lot of nonsense in this country and obviously other countries, too. But things that he knows would collapse our country, destroy our country internally. But it doesn't matter, obviously, because he's a part of a class that won't be affected by any of this. And the rest of us had to deal with it over these last few years. The fact that Larry Fink, though, is coming out now and he's distancing himself from the woke agenda kind of tells me that we've won that battle. It's not a war that we've won. We won the battle, though. I can promise you that much. You know, the Trump administration, for all of its, I know a lot of you criticize them, but for those of you that criticize them, this is the massive win that they could definitely notch for this one, that they were able to push back successfully on the woke agenda, challenge DEI, and then start to pull it out of our institutions. And that, within less than a year, is definitely a big, big win. Obviously, Larry Fink feeling that pressure that the American people and the rest of the folks around the world want nothing to do with their woke nonsense. And so that's why you hear Larry Fink trying to dance around it. It was actually quite interesting, too, that he sat down and did an interview with Fox News again. I think this is all very, very telling. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss in just a little bit. But if you're going to go somewhere, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com for our March mega sale. It's going on for a limited time while supplies last, up to 40% off of some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's the new Patriot Silver Folding Knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us. Amir Mordazavi is joining me right now in studio. We're very excited to have him on. Obviously, he is a Iranian-American, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But most importantly, he's also a healthcare entrepreneur, and so we're going to get on the subject matter of our corrupt healthcare system, but more importantly, the healthcare insurance companies. Obviously, I know many of you at home are very familiar with that and all the issues that are there, but he's going to help us do a deep dive into that. So, Amir, it's obviously an honor to have you in studio today. For Americans at home right now who are wondering, because obviously you fled when you were a kid with your family to the United States.
I did, yeah.
And what a blessing that is, obviously, seeing what happened, what's developed in the country, obviously, over these last couple of decades. But, you know, it's important for folks to understand. I want you to walk us through the history of Iran, because it wasn't always in an Islamic state. And no. That's what we were just discussing during the commercial break.
Yeah, I think if you go back, you know, to history, I'm talking mm-hmm. like 3,400 years ago, when the Persian Empire first started, there were Zoroastrians. Mm-hmm. Like that was the religion of the region. And I'm talking not about just Iran. This was like from like southern Turkey all the way down through Afghanistan. Like the Persian Empire had 35 million people in it. And it wasn't until, you know, I think 600 or 700 years ago when the Islamic states from Syria, really Damascus, came and Islamified Iran. So, you know, my parents, I think, if you say technically raised Muslim, were not very religious to begin with. And I think almost every Iranian that left Iran that came to the U.S. is either not Muslim or anything else. Baha'i, Jewish, you know, Christian. There's lots of Iranian Christians, and, you know, interfaith, but I think not very many Muslims in the U.S. because they saw what the regime did to their families and their friends and their country.
Yeah, and it's devastating to see that. What are your parents' memories of Iran? Because I'm sure they have a ton.
Yeah, I was born in 81, mm-hmm. so it was about, you know, 2 years after the technical revolution. I was actually talking to my dad about this the other day. I just said, you know, how long before, you know, the bars and movie theaters closed and the clothing stores changed? And he said it wasn't like an immediate, like, dead stop. He said it took about 6 months. But, you know, they had all these, like, civilian militia that were, like, morality police making women cover their hair and basically, like, slapping them or caning them in public if they saw something that was against the, you know, Islamic Sharia law. Now, you know, Iranians are Shiite Muslims. They're not Sunni. Mm-hmm. So minor classification difference, but still very Islamified. I mean, my mother, who was born in Iran, went to Tulsa University. Mm-hmm. When she got back from college, she said everything was fine, and then literally a year and a half later, it was you know, war zone. There was, you know, people being hanged from cranes in the street. There were public executions at kids' schools. It was just very, very sad.
It's devastating because it happens so quickly, and I think that's the reason why Texans are on high alert right now, as we see all these people coming into our country who don't have, who don't share our beliefs as a country. But I want to go over the Iranian flag because, you know, you brought this great image in, and it kind of shows the transformation of the flag itself. Can you walk us through this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the original Iranian flag, and this goes back to, like I say, 3,500 years ago, it was always a lion. Mm-hmm. So we call it Shido Khorshid. That means lion and sun. That's the original flag of the Iranian people, the Persian Empire, if you will. And it changed kind of over time when it became the Islamic Republic of Iran in 1979. They removed the lion and the sun, which had strong cultural and historical significance, and they added Arabic, basically some version of Allahu Akbar. And so I could tell you a little bit about the Iranian flag. I took some notes just so I could kind of explain it to you. But, you know, the Iranian flag, which starts green, white, red, and it had a lion holding a sword with a sun in the back. The lion symbolizes courage and strength. The sun was light, hope, and the motherland. The sword was victory and justice. Green stood for nature and life. White stood for peace. Red stood for the heroes, and the base under the lion symbolizes one united land from the Caspian Sea to the Persian Gulf. Now, the Islamic, well, hopefully not for long, but the Islamic flag is just the colors with Arabic writing, which Iranians don't even speak Arabic. They speak Farsi. It's a completely different language.
Yeah.
Completely different than Arabic, Indo-European, more so like French than Arabic, but it has some Arabic just similarities. Mm-hmm. It reads the same. It goes right to left. And they really just like Islamified a country that is not really Muslim.
Well, walk us through the demographics, too, because I actually just learned something on the break, too, when you and I were talking back and forth about the demographics, the religious demographics in the country.
Yeah. So pre-revolution, Iran was, you know, all religions. I've got, you know, hundreds of Iranian Jewish friends that, you know, parents were from Iran and immigrated here. In fact, I think Iran, outside of Israel, Iran had the largest population of Jews pre-revolution. Mm-hmm. They had Baha'is, they had Christians, they had many, many different faiths besides Islam. But I think pre-revolution, it was probably 80% Muslim. And I'm just saying that Muslim on paper, not practicing Muslim, not, you know, there weren't mosques anywhere. Mm-hmm. Now I think it's less than 20% in the 47 years since the revolution. And you saw that, you know, when the protests started happening in Iran, after the sanctions and all that, they were burning mosques by the dozens. Like every day they burned, you know, the protesters, not so peaceful, but they were burning mosques because they have just abandoned Islam. If you ask Iranians, there will be some that are like, yes, I'm a devout Muslim, and that's fine. But I think most of them abandon religion. Like my parents definitely, they're like, we're done with that religion. We're like, I don't even want to talk about it. It's created so much trauma for people, you know, my parents' age and younger too. I'd say maybe like one generation before me, that maybe they were like 10 or 12 when they left Iran. Mm-hmm. And they can remember, and I was only 2.5 when I left, so I don't remember the details of it, but people that are, you know, maybe 10 years older than me, they've converted to Christianity. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I have, and they're just anti-Islam.
Yeah.
And so people always, you know, they use the word Islamophobia, and I just think that's a bit ridiculous. You know, a phobia is an irrational fear of something. I have a rational fear of it.
Yeah.
You know, because of what my family went through, because of what, you know, so many of my friends went through, abandoned everything for freedom and just came to the U.S. to start over. Didn't ask for handouts, didn't ask for DEI or anything, just said, give us a chance, we'll make it.
And walk us through that. Like, what is it like for a family to flee, obviously, their native country? But I mean, obviously, that wasn't easy time for your parents
so
to do
the,
that.
The country was kind of in limbo because it was a monarchy, right? It was the country of Iran, and then it became the Islamic Republic of Iran. So there was I don't know if it was 11 months or 18 months, I can't remember the exact details, where it wasn't recognized as a country. Mm-hmm. Do you ever see that movie, The Terminal?
No.
Well, there's a movie where this Iranian guy was traveling to the Gaulle Airport in Paris, and Tom Hanks is in it, and basically the revolution happens and they say your papers are no good because your country is, we don't know what it is. We don't know if it's Iran and we don't know if it's the Islamic Republic of Iran. So your passport, your visa, no good. So he just was stuck at the airport for like 30 years. It's kind of a joke, but that's what happened at the time that I was coming over here. So simultaneously, when the revolution happened, Iraq, Saddam Hussein essentially attacked Iran, trying to invade Iran and make Iran, you know, sovereignty of Iraq. So there's a revolution going on, and then immediately thereafter there was the Iran-Iraq war, which killed millions of Iranians. They were able to fend off Saddam, but so there was war going on two fronts, internal with the revolution and then the Iran-Iraq war. My parents were divorced, and my dad, because he was a doctor, he had to serve in the military in the MASH unit before he could leave. So he spent, he was maybe 2 years behind us.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's so devastating, but it's a good reminder for Americans to see how quickly things can turn. And I think that's really important as we're watching the protests that are going on right now in Iran. My heart bleeds for those young kids. Absolutely. I mean, they're like in their 20s trying to fight for their country. Obviously, they don't even remember what their country was prior to all of this, but they're still fighting. And it resulted in, sadly, we don't know the exact figure, but thousands of Iranians being killed by the government. I mean, President Trump trying his best to issue a stern warning. But, they were controlling the internet and the information being placed out there. And they were also controlling, obviously, that controls the messaging. But they're trying their best to suppress these protesters. What are your thoughts on that? Because obviously that's something that's gut-wrenching to watch from the sidelines and not being able to help these people.
Yeah, and I think that just goes back to my earlier statement about, you know, an Islamic state and Islamist. You know, there's no separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. So what they say is the law, and if you deviate from that, it's blasphemy, punishable by death. So they don't want freedom of speech. They don't want freedom of religion. They want you to just shut up and do what they say.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people have just had enough, 47 years of oppression. They're just like, if I die, so what? It's not worth living in this current state.
Yeah.
So they've really, created, one voice turned into two, turned into 85 million that are opposing this regime. I can't tell you how proud I am of the Iranians that gave their lives. I was listening to Patrick Bet David podcast a couple weeks ago, and he had these two Iranian scholars that were kind of victims and thought leaders in terms of the Iranian regime. And one of them was saying that his sources in Iran say that the death toll, this is, keep in mind, 2.5 weeks ago, was 63,000, not the 30,000 that we're hearing. It started out at 2, and then it went to 12, and then someone said 100, but it's kind of stabilized, I think, most recently at 30,000. He's saying 63,000. It could be more. All those hangings that were scheduled, he says, yes, he's right. Trump made sure they weren't hanged in public.
Yeah.
They were just killed in their holdings, shot, poisoned, usually firing squad is what he said.
It's devastating. It really is devastating. And I hope that the Iranian people could now get control of their governments.
Yeah.
I know President Trump's so far, the Pentagon saying, all right, don't go out there and try to get control right now. We'll let you know when it's clear for you to jump on and do just that.
Yeah.
But don't do that right now. And so we do hope to get that signal soon to go out there and take control back of their government. Again, I know Americans don't want our soldiers, our service members intervening on the ground.
Yeah.
But I think with all the resources that they have, that they'll be able to take back their government. And given the fact that, President Trump so far claiming to reports has put a massive dent in their capabilities, obviously 90% of the military being wiped out, it looks like. So we'll continue to see it as it unravels. But I kind of want to pivot a bit.
Sure.
Because you have a very interesting story as well when it comes to the healthcare industry. Obviously,
yeah.
You're a healthcare entrepreneur and you've done a great job at just that. Your father is also a doctor as well. So this is, you've got the extensive background there. But I kind of want you to walk us through the allegations and how everything played out, because you recently actually had charges dismissed that were led by the DOJ, the federal government, going after you.
Yeah.
And I was reading through the indictment a bit earlier today, and it just details what they alleged was a pay-to-play scheme almost, where doctors were involved in getting kickbacks for pharmaceutical companies pharmacists that were giving out certain prescriptions.
Right.
Walk us through the accusations that you were facing, and just to remind our audience too, this whole thing has been tossed, so you're no longer facing these.
Correct.
Congratulations. This is very recent.
Yeah, recently. Yeah, last
8 years though.
Yeah, it's been a, probably 7-year process of just dealing with it. So just quick background, own multiple healthcare businesses throughout my, you know, almost 17-year career in healthcare, specifically home health, which is in-home nursing and physical therapy, pharmacy, lab, physician groups, medical spas. I mean, you name it. I've had it, ran it, sold it, exited successfully, what have you. The allegations that were brought by the government under the Biden administration in the election year, mind you, so there's some very key data points there to keep in mind, were that doctors were making money on pharmacy prescriptions that they sent. That's like the 30,000-foot view. All my businesses, like since 2013, 2014, have been in partnership with doctors, legal compliant partnerships with state and federal law. In Texas, a doctor can own up to 40% of a pharmacy, for example, as long as it's not processing federal prescriptions, Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And so we built all of our business models in partnership with doctors. And, you know, they were investigating this case, I think since 2018 or 19. I found out that I was a target in 2019. And they're like, we're going to indict you. And they couldn't get it done. So really last year of the Biden administration, you know, gets rubber stamped. And, you know, I really went through kind of a personal and corporate hell for 2 years.
Yeah, it's stressful. And it's expensive to fight these cases.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the legal bills were intense, you know, but what ended up happening, and this is just, you know, speculation, because we got a call one day that said the charges are being dropped, is that the case was put together so poorly. Mm-hmm. But what we found out later is that because the government had a lot of information that we were like, how did they get all this information from? Well, they were getting it from the health insurance companies, United Healthcare specifically. So let me fast forward. Let me rewind a little bit. 12 years ago, I was a minority partner in a company that had a laboratory business. The laboratory business was doing well. And in 2016, we were negotiating an in-network contract with United Healthcare. We were an out-of-network lab. We were negotiating an in-network contract. They were negotiating in good faith, and then two of our principals got in some legal trouble, not involved with our company, a separate matter, a company that predated me even living in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And then United Healthcare sued our company civilly. Mm-hmm. That's when I left, because I was like, what the hell is going on here? They sued us for $100 million. 5 years later, they sued everybody that was an owner. So, and I have emails dating back to 2018 where United Healthcare is emailing the Department of Justice, because when we asked for discovery, we said, send us everything from these email domains, UHC.com.
Yeah, that's FOIAs. Yeah.
So in all the discovery, we're seeing them colluding and collaborating, essentially weaponizing the Department of Justice against us, because they weren't getting anywhere with their civil case. So they weaponized the Department of Justice against me. And I know this is the case because when we went, I got sued by them in 2020. The initial meeting, my lawyers and their lawyers, and said, you know, let's talk about a settlement. He only owned 1.8% of the company. Why are you coming after him joint and several for $100 million? They say, we'll start negotiations at $50 million. He goes, obviously he doesn't have that. Well, you know,
yeah.
That sounds good. And can you come up with something more reasonable? He says, no, and that's our number, and we are willing to spend any amount of money to make sure that, you know, these guys get buried in legal bills. That was their counsel talking to my counsel.
That's a crazy threat, yeah.
Yeah. So when you're a $400 billion company like United Healthcare that owns their own physicians, they're the largest employer of physicians, 90,000 physicians throughout the country. They have their health insurance plans. They have their pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs. They own their own pharmacies. They own their own ancillaries. When they're fully vertically integrated like that, they're too big to fail. Go look at the last 15 years of United Healthcare's board members. They're all former senators, Department of State Health Services, you know, Medicare chiefs and czars. It's like they've got those relationships with the government. And they're the largest provider of Medicare Advantage plans as well, which they're under investigation by the Department of Justice for. So they, you know, again, found all this through discovery. they basically said, hey, go after this guy. And, you know, the government did under Biden. And, you know, now 2 years later after Trump, they're like, this is no good. We're going to just dismiss the charges. And it came out of nowhere. Like it came, you know, it was a random call on a Friday, 2 days after my 45th birthday.
What a heck of a gift.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, obviously this is all, Amir, in your opinion. And I kind of want to ask you for this. I know it's speculation, again, opinion. I wanted to ask you, what do you think the motive was behind all of this, the squash competition?
Yeah, so my theory is the following. Remember I told you United Healthcare is not just the health insurance. They have their own physician groups. Mm. That they own. They own 90,000 physicians. They have their own pharmacy benefit manager, the middlemen for prescription drugs, and they have their own pharmacies. I owned pharmacies. Mm-hmm. And I had physicians that were partners. Ironically, they would cancel my contracts and then email or text all my patients and say, hey, why don't you use our Optum pharmacy? So for them, I think it's a matter of killing small business, like basically eliminating competition and not paying. The company that I told you that I used to work for, that they sued us for $100 million, United Healthcare owed them $52 million when we were negotiating the in-network contract. They didn't have to pay that. So when they're like, we'll settle for $50 million, it gets them to the same thing. They kept $50 million, they got $50 million from me. They just want to spend whatever they can spend because they can afford it to get $100 million.
And walk us through the process of all of this, because for our audience, you know, this is actually isn't the first story I've heard about all of this kind of happening, and I'll talk to you about it later. But, I mean, I know a lot of people, specifically, though, conservatives that were targeted under the Biden administration, wiped out clean financially when it came to, like, the legal bills piling up.
Oh.
But they were all entrepreneurs. They were people who were running companies. And it was little legal things that wouldn't normally, you know, I don't think the federal government would launch and use all of its resources for.
Sure.
But a lot of these people, and I don't know your background and donations, but the people who, because I lived in West Palm Beach, a lot of these people were donors to President Trump, and so they felt the lawfare against them. But nobody was ever talking about it because they didn't want to talk about the fact that they might have been actually targeting donors as well for President Trump.
Yeah, no, I've been a, you know, Republican donor since 2014, but I took some time off when I had kids, just wasn't really involved in politics. I don't think I was targeted for being a conservative, mm-hmm. but I do think I was targeted because I was a business owner that had partnerships with physicians, and that's not what United Healthcare wants. They want to own all the physicians. You know, in the time that I've been in the businesses that I told you since 2013, when all the pharmacy benefit managers and health insurers started, you know, getting vertically integrated, merging, acquiring, what have you, the cost of prescription drugs, the cost of care, the cost of insurance has gone up 4 or 5 times. Like 5X, no question, all day, every day. So has the enterprise value of these companies, you know? United Healthcare, CVS, Aetna, Humana, Blue Cross Blue Shield. I mean, you name it. There was just a Ways and Means Committee hearing in late January with all the CEOs of the health insurance companies. Did you see that?
Yep.
It was 4.5 hours. I watched every minute of it twice because they were lambasting them about, how many of you own pharmacies? How many of you own physicians? How many of you own practice locations? And like, and how much was your compensation? $60 million, $70 million. It's all geared towards profits over patients because they have fiduciary duty to their shareholders and they want to maximize profits by denying care and increasing the cost of drugs. Middlemen that don't need to happen. I mean, in my opinion, I think PBMs and health insurers need to separate. You know, their interests are not aligned. PBMs used to not be profit centers. They were used to manage prescription drug prices for consumers. Now they're profit centers for the big health insurers.
Yeah, Amir, I actually want to have you just kind of walk us through all of this in a second. So we're going to hit a hard commercial break here.
Great.
But we'll have you hanging over for just a little bit longer. Folks, don't go anywhere. More to discuss. I want to dive into the corruption, the internal corruption at these healthcare insurance companies, as many of you guys know. So we'll be right back.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3, and it's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
Welcome back to the show. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today, folks. We still have Amir Mortazavi, who is joining us in studio. He is an Iranian-American. We talked about that in the open of the program with this interview. But most importantly, also, he is a healthcare entrepreneur. He knows the healthcare industry better than anyone. We walked you through the DOJ's claims that were made that have since been dropped. And so he's celebrating that. That happened in February. Those charges were dropped. But now I kind of want to walk through the issues that we have when it comes to healthcare insurance in this country. You have a book that's going to come out this summer, United We Fall. And as someone with 20 years of healthcare experience, this is something that I think is really important for our audience to kind of walk through.
Absolutely.
So I'll let you kind of have the floor to tell our audience what you've witnessed over these last 20 years that they should really just be focused on right now when it comes to the corruption and the greed?
Yeah, I think the system is just broken. I think the point of insurance companies, their whole kind of reason for existence was to kind of mitigate risk for people that want health insurance. I mean, that's the whole point of insurance is you pay a little now, yeah, so you don't have to pay a lot when and if and when you need it. I think what's happened is that because most of these health insurers are publicly traded companies and they have fiduciary responsibilities to their shareholders to maximize profits, mm-hmm, they've put profits over patients. And we've seen that time and time again over the course of the last 15 years. Prescription drug prices have gone up. Cost of health insurance has gone up. Doctor's visits have gone, everything has gone up. And what else has gone up? The enterprise value of these huge health insurers. So my book, which is called United We Fall, is a play on words targeting United because they're the worst. You know, they're the absolute worst. They started this whole DOJ, suit against me. They weaponized the Department of Justice against me, kind of like said, here's all our resources and go after this guy, giving them incomplete emails and, you know, oh, this is a bad email, but did you see Amir's reply? And they didn't send any of that. They sent very specific things to them to paint me in a way that looked disingenuous. My whole reason for publishing the book is I want to expose that corruption.
Yeah, you know? From your perspective, which I think is really interesting.
They're, you know, health insurers and pharmacy benefit managers, which for those that don't know, pharmacy benefit managers are essentially, the middlemen between, you and your insurance company when you get prescription drugs, mm-hmm, when you go to a pharmacy. And historically, PBMs and health insurers have been separate companies. What started happening, I don't know, this is back in 2013, is the health insurers started buying PBMs. They started purchasing them, and instead of making them, you know, and the whole point of a PBM is to lower prescription drug prices for consumers. They now turn them into profit centers. And I created a little graph that I sent to your producer. We can take a look at that a little later.
Yeah.
And I'll explain to you, like, dollars in, you as the consumer, what we pay, dollars out, and how much the health insurers, the vertically integrated health insurers, capture. So I call it corporate capture is the name of the slide. So our prescription prices have gone up. Healthcare costs have gone up, and their enterprise values have gone up almost dollar for dollar, like percentage by percentage. It's insane. These companies make billions of dollars a year. In January, the CEOs of all the major health insurance companies came in front of the Ways and Means Committee, mm-hmm, and they asked them a very simple question, like, do you own physician groups? Four of them raised their hand, four out of the five. Do you own pharmacies? Yes. Do you own the health insurer? Yes. Where does all the money go for our health insurance? They go to us. I mean, it was 4.5 hours. If anybody wants to watch it, it's unbelievably lambast the health insurance companies. And I had already started writing the book kind of when I started going through all this. It was kind of my way to get the information out of my head, but also to express what I was going through. You know, I mean, not comparing myself to Donald Trump or Ken Paxton, but all the same things happened to me when I got indicted. I got debanked. I, you know, got kicked out of country clubs. My kids stopped getting invited to their friends' birthday parties, kicked out of groups like Shame, you know, all the Dallas periodicals just would love to post, oh, these guys got indicted. But since the dismissal, not a peep.
Isn't that crazy that nobody corrects what their reporting was originally?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Dallas Morning News, D Magazine, absolute joke. Absolute joke. You know, anyways, back to the insurance tip. So the profit centers for these companies are in the physician groups because the physician groups control the referrals, are in the prescription drugs, in the pharmacies that sell the prescription drugs, and in the health insurance. And you pay for all that,
yeah,
as a consumer, and then you get denied care at a very high cost. And who's making money? United Healthcare, Blue Cross, mm-hmm, Cigna, CVS, Aetna. It's a house of cards. And I want to expose it. I want to show how this vertical integration has been worse off for consumers. I have a plan to separate PBMs and health insurers, making PBMs almost like a government-controlled entity, similar to what Trump is doing with Trump RX.
Yeah.
Like, cost of prescription drugs is insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. And it's because they've become profit centers for these PBMs.
Well, and we were in the break talking about insulin, and that was a point, too, that we wanted to bring up as well. Can you walk us through the price of insulin? Because President Trump obviously is now trying to control that a little bit.
For sure.
That it's not a burden onto the American people. But again, that's a big issue here.
Yeah, it's not just insulin, but like the cost of insulin has gone up in the last 30 years. How is that possible? Mm-hmm. You know, like and diabetes is more rampant. I think when you make stuff in volume, it should be cheaper.
Yeah.
It's more expensive. And the reason it's more expensive is not because the drug price is more expensive. It's actually cheaper to manufacture the drug. It's because now the PBMs are part of the health insurers. So they get a manufacturer rebate that goes back to the PBM. If we can put that, slide up that I sent the producer, I can walk you through exactly how it is. So if you look at this on the left side, those are dollars in let me pull it up.
That one's your right. Might be a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So the left column says this is like the patient. So the patient on average pays $590 a month for their health insurance, $20 for a copay, $40 for an MD visit. They're out of pocket $650 for the month. Okay. If they go to United Healthcare, one of their pharmacies, they're going to pay a $20 copay for the insurance. They're going to pay $280 payment from the pharmacy benefit manager for the cost of the drug. So that's $100 net profit to UHC pharmacies. And then the PBM is going to make $110. So they also own the physician group. So out of the $650 that a consumer spends in a month, $525 of that goes to United Healthcare entities. That's called corporate capture. Mm-hmm. That's why their stock price has gone up. And if you look at their revenue silos, Optum Health, Optum Insight, Optum Rx, eliminations, consolidated earnings, it all pencils almost to the dollar to the top of that graph that shows you how much they make and how much they take. In that hearing with the Ways and Means Committee, the CEO said, you know, our profit margin is only 1 or 2%. Yeah, of, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So, like, don't sit there and say, oh, you know, we only make 2% profit margin.
Well, during that hearing, too, both sides, both Democrats and Republicans were counting.
AOC was firing. I was like, go, girl. Like, I'm never going to say that again. But it was very, like, unified, both on the Democratic and the Republican side. They're like, we need answers. Healthcare is too expensive. You guys are making all the profits. You need to do better.
Yeah.
Or we're going to break you up. And that's when I saw that, I go, has somebody been reading my book notes? Like, this is exactly what I've been talking about the last 2.5 years.
Well, I think a lot of people are fired up, and the Trump administration is getting focused on this issue. We saw it with the launch of Trump RX, obviously, but they're really trying to buckle down and bring down the costs and hold companies accountable.
Yeah.
What areas do you think the administration should focus on currently?
So I think the biggest thing is we need to separate the PBMs from the health insurers. You know, United has Optum, CVS has Caremark, Blue Cross has their own, Cigna has their own. Those need to be separate. Those need to get spun out. There needs to be some type of, antitrust, or it needs to be separated. They can't be profit centers for them. If they do that and make those, and maybe the government buys them. I don't know. I don't know how to fix it. I just know what needs to happen to lower prescription drug prices for consumers. They are that insulin that should have gone down from 30 years ago has gone up because there's a rebate going back and forth from the drug manufacturer to the PBM.
Mm-hmm.
So that rebate used to be like $1 or $2. Now it's $20, $50, $100. That's why the cost of insulin has gone up, you know, adjusted for inflation, but the cost of the drug has gone down significantly in terms of manufacturing it.
One of the interesting articles I was reading, this was probably over a year ago, was about 70% of our pharmaceutical drugs are actually manufactured in foreign countries, but specifically I think 70% is China.
China and India.
Yeah, which is horrifying when you think about that, because they could hold our drugs hostage and then Americans could potentially die from that.
Yeah.
What do you think we need to do as a country?
I think Trump started those conversations with Big Pharma. I mean, I think they're just as they're just as responsible for the increase in drug prices as the big insurance companies. I'd say they're probably a distant second, but still fully culpable. I think we do need to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. The cost to manufacture drugs in China and India is just way less. So the government needs to come out of pocket with some incentives. And I think they've done that. I think Eli Lilly has agreed to build some facilities in North Houston. Mm-hmm. I think they said they're going to invest $6 billion, which is kind of a joke. I mean, I think that's how much they made off of Ozempic in 1 month. But we need to bring manufacturing back to the States. And how that happens is outside of my expertise, but yeah. I think Trump has the right team to do that. We need to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. I'm not so much concerned with India and China in terms of poisoning our supply. It's they can mess with the prices, too, because they're not just selling to us. They're selling to everybody, right? It's not just of the U.S. It's of the world. The U.S. opioid epidemic was like 75% of its prescription opioids, and it's a fraction of the population. So we're big users of drugs. China and India want to do business with us. We have to figure out how to bring that business back to the U.S.
Yeah, and I think the Trump administration is focused on that, and that's something we all look forward to, of course. Amir, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I've learned a lot. Folks at home, if you want to learn more and follow his work, he's got a great website set up for you. We've got it on the screen, amir-m.com. Again, his book is coming out over the summertime. I'm sure I'll be speaking with you again once that book is ready to go, but this is where you guys could read more about Amir and all of the incredible stories you have. And I love the fact that you put front and center your beautiful family, your two kids, and your beautiful wife. It's a great one to look over and learn your story, because this is the American dream. And I think a lot of people need to read in on this. So
yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, folks. I want to bring you to this next clip, because this one was really interesting. As many of you guys know, Sarah Adams, we've had on this program, former CIA operative, I believe is the term that a lot of people use. But Sarah Adams is incredible when it comes to the Islamic terror attacks that are happening all across the country. She's an expert on the issue, at keeping an eye on it and then predicting what could potentially happen here on the homeland and preparing you all at home for that. She actually has a brand new warning out regarding Al-Qaeda and the terror attack that they plan to carry out here in the homeland. And that's in clip 15. So let's take a look at that.
Welcome to The Watch Floor. I'm Sarah Adams. Today we're covering one of the topics we get the most questions about. Can you walk us through Al-Qaeda's current aviation plotting related to the U.S. homeland, right? Al-Qaeda doesn't come out and give you the entire framework of a plot. What they do is leave breadcrumbs, and then you have to figure it out, hopefully in advance. So unfortunately, a lot of times, it's after the fact where you learn a lot of pieces, but again, there was the 2006 liquid bomb plot that was thwarted. So the more we can get ahead of this, we can thwart it and save a lot of lives. So today we're going to walk through, you know, what we know about this plot. Others might have different information, and that's okay. There's a ton of aspects to this plot, a lot of gaps, a lot of unknowns. All we're doing is getting the information out there so everyone can be more alert and more prepared. When we talk about this plot, like anything, of course, it has objectives. And the plot has three main objectives. The first is turning past failures into success. So there's a number of aviation plots that never came to fruition. We had the shoe bomber, the underwear bomber. We just told you the liquid bomb plot, etc. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that means today and what plot they're focused on the most from the past that didn't come to fruition. Another thing is they want to prove that our Department of Homeland Security, this huge organization we created, and specifically, you know, TSA within it, is completely useless. They want to say, hey, they can't protect you. We can get bombs on aircrafts and we're going to show you. So that's something to keep in mind, and it's a huge part of this. The last piece is they want to finally execute a successful operation using the invisible bomb, or as Al-Qaeda likes to call it, the hidden bomb. So we're going to explain to you what this bomb is, how it looks today, and why they think they'll be successful. And there has been innovations to it. A lot of people are still thinking about the bomb from like 15 years ago, and it is much different today. And so we're going to explain, you know, the pieces we can say publicly about that. Of course, you know, Al-Qaeda is always monitoring what we're going to say and what we're sharing. And of course, then they change their tactics and techniques. It's unfortunately why you can only share so much, but you need to share enough in the hopes to thwart something like this. It's a very delicate balance, unfortunately. When we say turning past failures into success, this is very important for people to understand. In December 2023, Al-Qaeda's core leadership had their Yemen branch, so AQAP, put out a video kind of threatening the West and hinting about this aviation plot. Now, the interesting thing is there is really useful information in the video, and then there's information in the video to make law enforcement go off on wild goose chases. So you have to spend a lot of time, you know, on this video, and luckily we've collected a lot of information since this video to really see what you need to see and not what Al-Qaeda wants you to see. So if you just took the video at face value, you would think Al-Qaeda's plot is to get a lone wolf or a lone attacker, so someone who's just inspired by the video, to make this homemade version of the invisible bomb in their kitchen, take it on an airplane and blow it up, okay? So they want you to think that they're looking for someone out there to be another Umar Farouk, who was the underwear bomber. That is not the plot. But again, that's what they want you to think of the plot. It's just this one-off person, and that's why a lot of people don't take the plot seriously. So the plot isn't based on the failed Christmas Eve airline plot. The plot is actually based on Bojinka. So if you don't know Bojinka, we are going to walk through it today just for an understanding of it, because it was a plot that was thwarted 30 years ago. So it's not even in recent history. It is so far back in history. So this plot was a mass casualty aviation plot, and it was thwarted in 1995 pretty much accidentally. So the masterminds were Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who obviously was the mastermind behind 9/11, and Ramzi Youssef, who most famously was involved in the first World Trade Center bombing. Remember, if Al-Qaeda thinks they weren't successful, even though the World Trade Center bombing was, they will come back again and bring the plot to fruition. And that's, of course, what happened on 9/11. So we have some of these historic actors going all the way back to this plot. The goal was to down 11 to 12 airliners traveling over the Trans-Pacific into the United States. We got lucky because Ramzi had like an electrical fire in his apartment. You know, law enforcement showed up, and when they did, they found, you know, all these pieces of the plot, and it was just weeks away from occurring. It was also at that point that they found out, oh, in December 1994, there was a dry run of this bomb on an airplane. Luckily, in that case, it only killed the bomber, and the pilot was able to successfully land the plane, and there was no other fatalities. So it was interesting that no one ever connected the dry run to an actual plot. And it's something we have to keep in mind, because that unfortunately happens, and we really want to be on top of these things, right? There are no coincidences. There are other waves to the plot, Bojinka, if you know it. Of course, they wanted to take a plane into the CIA. They wanted to kill the Pope, etc. But really, the piece we care the most about is the dozen airliners. Now, the bombs are a little different. The goal was to put kind of these liquid explosives into everyday items, and the focus was like a contact lens solution. So that bottle, so just think of it that way. That is not what the bomb looks like now, but just to be aware, they have continually evolved this, and of course the 2006 plot was also liquid explosives. A lot of people, you know, say Bojinka was the prototype for 9/11. It was a piece of it, but within Al-Qaeda, Bojinka has yet to be completed, and they now want to bring it to fruition. So what we're seeing is the potential that they want to do a Bojinka-style plot of a dozen airliners, but all over U.S. soil. So it won't be this time transatlantic like 2006 was, or transpacific from what we know, because they want all the attackers to get on the planes at a U.S. starting point, so from a U.S. airport. And so we all blame our government. It's not like you can say, well, he got on the plane in Paris. It's the French government's fault. No, it's going to be the U.S. government's fault, because they're going to get on at airports in the United States.
All right, folks. Sarah Adams does a great job of breaking all of this down. And I highly recommend, if you're not doing so already, to give her a follow on X. Most importantly, she got her show. It's the Watch the Floor, I believe this is, the podcast. She just recently launched it, and she's one of my favorites when it comes to understanding the threats to the homeland and what's taken place overseas as well throughout the Middle East. So definitely worth the follow. And again, we have her on the show often, but she's a very busy woman, a very, very busy woman. And so she is doing a great job, though, at her own show. And I just want to make sure we play that little snippet for you so you all check it out. I wanted to also tell you the third hour of the program, which is starting soon. Time is flying by these days. We'll be taking your calls, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you can call into the show. We want to keep it focused on the topics we've discussed thus far. Keep it relevant to the news. I've got a lot to talk about still to catch you up on, because we haven't even touched the surface when it comes to the headlines. A lot happening in just a little bit. I don't know. Let's actually throw clip 12 out there. You know, CNN, I told you all CNN was lying. They were full of nonsense. In clip 12, Abby Phillip, as many of you guys know, she hosts one of the night shows over at CNN. Well, she actually had to offer a correction because, well, she was trying to coddle the Islamic terrorists that tried to carry out, allegedly, of course, a terror plot on, well, New York City over the weekend. Take a listen to clip 12.
This morning, I issued a correction first thing in the morning on X for a mistake that I made in last night's show, but I also wanted to do so on air as well. I incorrectly said that the bombs that were thrown by ISIS-inspired suspects in New York over the weekend were directed at Mayor Mamdani. They were not. I failed to catch and correct that mistake in real time, and I take full responsibility for that. And while we do make mistakes, it is important to acknowledge and correct those errors when they happen.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. By the way, CNN, it wasn't just her. It wasn't just Abby over there pushing that lie. It was also those who were operating their social media pages. We told you they had to fix and take down their post after trying to say, oh, they're just two teenagers enjoying a rare good weather day in New York City. And all of a sudden, this happened. Yeah, they'd hate to piss off their jihadist audience members, of course. Why would you want to do that? Why do you want to do that? All right, folks, more happening in the third hour of the program. In the meantime, though, head on over. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have iodine that just recently launched on TheAlexJonesStore.com. 50% off for you VIP members, because we appreciate you, so we'll extend a discount your way. If you're not VIP, though, we'll still give you a discount. 25% off, though, for those who are not VIP. But I don't know why you wouldn't want to be a VIP member, because you're helping our efforts and telling the truth, obviously, in this information battle. But you're also going to be getting a great discount over at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Also, it's the March Mega Sale going on right now, up to 40% off your favorite supplements over at the shop for a limited time. Head on over at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win, or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue, or our bovine colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click a VIP, when it recurs each month, Instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on theoptionstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at theoptionstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theoptionstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Today. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in the third hour, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. You guys got to call into the show if you want to join us for the third hour of the program. We'll be taking your calls, giving a little bit more in the way of information, throwing it out there. A couple stories I think need to be on your radar. And, yeah, we're going to do that in the third hour of the program. By the way, folks, I don't... There's a reason why you watch InfoWars, right? We're ahead of everyone else. I was warning you all, as soon as the attacks in Iran were taking place, I made sure to ask my friends who have served in counterterrorism and other agencies throughout the federal government about what should I be telling my audience in regards to the next threat. And these are people who are like-minded. They actually watch InfoWars often, like very, very often. They text me during the show to tell me how great of a job I'm doing, or if I'm not doing a great job, or if I mispronounce something, I hear from them. They are info warriors. But one of the big things that they were all pushing out to me was say, hey, you got to warn the audience about hacking. That was their major, major push, was to tell you all at home that hacking was one of the greater threats that was likely going to take place in retaliation for President Trump's attacks in Iran. And it looks to be true. We are learning about a healthcare provider that just allegedly got hacked by a group of pro-Iran, we should say. And Fox News actually just put out this report. Take a listen.
Fox News alert. A pro-Iranian hacker group is claiming responsibility for a major cyber attack on a U.S. medical device maker, marking the first notable pro-Iranian hack against U.S. infrastructure since Operation Epic Fury began. The company, Stryker, releasing a statement saying, quote, we are continuing to resolve the disruption impacting our global network resulting from the cyber attack. At this time, there is no indication of malware or ransomware, and we believe the situation is contained to our internal Microsoft environment only.
All right. So obviously, again, folks, we warned you. We told you all about it. That is what's happening right now. Obviously, this is a massive, massive threat, and one that should be taken seriously. And I know that the government's warned banks specifically, because, of course, you don't want them getting into their systems. But this is what we're dealing with right now. This is what we've got to keep our eye out on. And so that was just one update that I wanted to make sure we brought your way. There's a lot more happening over here, though. We're going to dive into just a little bit. Again, 877-789-2539. That's the number you're going to want to call into if you want to join the show. 877-789-2539. Uh-oh. I just got an update. This one not looking good. Let me just grab it right now. See, this is why you guys watch this show. We bring you breaking news. Okay, well, this is good news, actually. Never mind. A Georgia judge just denied one of the individuals who was charged, obviously, with killing the nursing student Lakeland Riley a new trial. He was trying to get a new trial. Judge just weighed in and said, no, not happening. This is the Supreme Court judge who just stepped in and rejected that request. So that's good news. That's good news. Now, he's been, listen, this is Jose Ibarra is the individual who was convicted, and he is sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So the good news is he will not get a new trial. He was found guilty of malice murder, felony murder, kidnapping, aggravated assault, and then hindering a 911 call because she was obviously trying to call for help, sadly, during the attack. And so that is good, good news. All right. The push alert had me a little nervous there, so I stopped everything to make sure we grab that for you. All right, folks, again, we're going to be taking your calls. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into. And I also want to walk you through the very latest regarding the Oversight Committee's investigation into the Jeffrey Epstein saga. I don't even know what to call it anymore. It's ongoing, obviously. We're learning more and more. And then I also want to play, this one gave me a good crack, laughter, I should say. Joe Rogan going after CNN for intentionally lying to people about Islamic terrorists. We'll play that clip for you next. Again, if you guys want to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll be diving into your calls. Also, over at thealexjonesstore.com, it's that March Mega Sale I keep telling you about. You better go. Stock up now on all your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. Limited time. And it includes your favorite items, up to 40% off. NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS Gummies, and MK Ultra. So many more right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to stop what you're doing and head on over there. Also, tomorrow, at the end of our sale on the America 250 T-shirts. Those are the special edition shirts. They are now $14.99 over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here with us today. We're taking your calls in third hour of the program, so 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to call right now. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the show. I just got an alert. Good news. If you're a UFC fan, Cash Patel just confirmed that UFC fighters will be training FBI agents this week, calling it a historic opportunity. That announcement just dropping, saying that he's thrilled to announce this historic, you know, it's going to be like a new, like, training seminar. It's going to be held at, at FBI headquarters. I'm going to zoom in. You guys know I'm blind. I am blind. But he said it in a statement that this is going to be a tremendous opportunity for our FBI agents to learn and train with some of the greatest athletes on earth. Yeah, let's get the octagon going. I'd like to brawl it out with some of the FBI agents assigned to the J6 cases. I wonder if that's an option. That would be quite lovely if it was. But that's the big news coming out right now from the FBI, of course. Also, folks, we're going to take your calls in a little bit, but I wanted to give you an update regarding the Oversight Committee, the House Oversight Committee's investigation into Epstein. As many of you guys know, James Comer is the chairman of that committee, and in clip 11, he gives us that update regarding Epstein's accountant now being the fifth person who's, decided to come clean on President Trump's ties with Epstein. And guess what? He's been cleared yet again. Take a listen.
First of all, Mr. Khan's answering every question thus far. We've completed 2 full hours of depositions. I would say we are possibly at the halfway point. It could last more than 4 hours. But he confirmed there were 5 clients that paid money to Epstein, and that was Les Wexner, Lynn Dubin, Stephen Sanofsky, the Rothschilds, and Leon Black. We've already deposed Wexner, and we're going to be deposing Leon Black very soon. Mr. Khan testified under oath that, because the Democrats asked this question, that he had never seen any type of transaction to Trump or anyone in his family. That makes the fifth witness now that's testified under oath that they've never seen any involvement by Donald Trump or their family. That includes Khan, Bill Clinton, Wexner, Acosta, and Barr. So I know that's the obsession of a lot of the media with respect to the Epstein investigation, but I will again remind us the investigation's about getting the truth to the American people, trying to figure out how the government failed, answer questions we all have. Was he an agent? Was our government involved in any type of cover-up in any way, shape, or form? And, you know, finally, what can be done to prevent this from happening in the future?
Yeah, so obviously that's an important update for all of you at home to hear. I want to make sure I brought that to you. I also want to give you an update regarding President Trump's never-ending battle with New York AG Tish James. Obviously, as we all know, she is a political hack, but most importantly, she's still at war with President Trump's attorneys. And President Trump's attorneys are actually demanding the internal communications between both the AG and Michael Cohen. This includes notes, emails, letters, and recordings. That's because Cohen's legal team actually apparently says that they were forced by the AG to kind of go out there and to provide testimony against President Trump that aligned with their goals of securing judgments and convictions in the civil fraud and hush money cases. Now, that's Michael Cohen telling you just that, in case you forgot to. That's Manhattan DA's office. Alvin Bragg also looped into that one. That was that insane judgment that was issued in a very corrupt courtroom. We've covered that extensively, of course. And although the judgment, which I believe was, what, $464 million, was tossed out, the AG is actually still fighting to bring that in. And so that is obviously something we'll keep our eye on because it is very, very important. I don't know if you guys saw this, too. The FBI put up on their vault the Matt Gaetz file. The FBI released the records on Matt Gaetz showing that the former congressman, apparently a source was informing on him since this is at least September of 2020. Now, again, there's a lot of names being floated out there, someone who was dealing with his own legal battles. So I know Gaetz has spoken openly about it, that he thinks that this person might have been sacrificing him, I believe is what Gaetz was kind of, you know, putting there. But obviously someone who was in a lot of trouble. So that's the update we are receiving now. And I also wanted to, I got an update from the Pentagon. The Pentagon tomorrow will be holding a press conference again at 8 a.m. That message just coming in right now. So this is why you watch this show. I do get the announcements as they are trickling in, and so I'm trying to multitask. But that announcement coming, so Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, will be speaking with the media tomorrow at 8 a.m., and that's Eastern time. We'll bring it to you, of course, when we come to air, and I'll bring you the latest on that front as well, if there's any breaking news, of course. But yeah, the vault, again, we'll bring it back to me. This is like my ADHD. We'll bring it back to the vault. The Justice Department ultimately closed the federal probe, as many of you guys know, back in February of 2023 without filing a single charge against Matt Gaetz. Again, I know they like to say that he was apparently participating in very questionable behavior. I know the House Ethics Committee released a report stating that they had evidence that Gaetz regularly paid women for sex through 2017 to 2020. Again, they also alleged that there was drugs also being used, but no criminal charges there. No criminal charges there. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the show. Now, I played CNN having to correct, that was Abby Phillip, having to correct the comments that she made regarding those alleged Islamic terrorists in New York City over the weekend who tried to throw two explosive devices into a group of anti-Islamist protesters. But, you know, it's pretty crazy when you go through all the details as to what they were doing at CNN to try to cover up for these jihadists, alleged jihadists, I should say. Joe Rogan did a segment on this yesterday, and it gave me a good laugh, so we'll play it for you here in clip 13. Take a listen.
What kind of story are you painting here? Like, this is such a crazy way to frame a guy showed up with bombs and was hurling them at people.
Well, they made it sound like the exact opposite of what actually happened.
Well, it sounded like it was just a regular day. just a regular day for this fella, and then things just went a little sideways somewhere along the
line.
Listen,
we've all got hobbies, man. You know what I mean? You like working out. He has nail bombs.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Did you get it, Jamie?
It's not
coming through?
No, look, when I, it's not loading there.
Oh, interesting. Let me see if they took it down.
I'd guess they would have. You probably have an old link that.
Okay, that's the New York Times one I sent you. No, that's the one I just clicked on. Let me check the original one. Nothing to see here. Interesting. they probably deleted it. Okay, here, I found it. Two Pennsylvania teenagers crossed into New York City Saturday morning for what could have been a normal day, enjoying the city during abnormally warm weather. But in less than an hour, their lives would drastically change as the pair would be arrested for throwing homemade bombs. That is CNN's tweet. I'm going to send you a screenshot because I do believe they've taken it down.
It's brilliant.
Yep, nothing to see here yet. Yeah, they took it down.
That's not a headline, though. That's, I guess, like...
No. I'm going to send you the actual tweet because they did take it down because it's so ridiculous. But the internet never forgets. I'm sending it to you here. Thank God I saved it and took a screenshot because I'm like, this is such a crazy way to frame two guys wanting to do a terror attack.
Yeah.
But it's not an accident, Joe. It's not crazy. No. You know it's not crazy.
No. Look how it's framed here. This is the original tweet. Two Pennsylvania teenagers, just regular fellas from PA, from Philly. Yeah. Two Philly boys had a couple of cheesesteaks and then got on the train. Crossing New York City Saturday morning for what could have been a normal day, enjoying the city during abnormally warm weather. Mm. Why the would you even say that? Could have been a normal day if they weren't going there to commit terrorism.
Do you know what it reads like? It reads like when I used to teach 13-year-olds creative writing. That's how they'd all start off. You know, it was like a normal day. And
I mean, I'd like to know who wrote that. Who's the person who wrote that? And I want to know, were you directed to write it that way?
Who approved it?
Yeah.
Who edited it?
Okay, yeah. Are you trying to downplay the possibility of, first of all, now in New York, because you have a guy who's an avowed, whatever he is, democratic socialist, some say communist, but also Muslim.
Right.
And then you have these Islamists who are doing a terrorist attack. So, like, are you trying to soften that?
Yeah,
seems
but they
like
are.
You're trying to soften
so
it.
What?
Obviously, folks, they're trying to cover for these jihadists, allegedly, of course. They deserve a fair trial. And then after a fair trial, well, bring them straight to the chair if they're convicted. That's the only solution I see that I see fit for this type of a situation. All right, folks, we're taking your calls. We're going to be jumping back on the lines in a second. 877-789-2539. That is the number to call. And we're going to go to the first one. I don't know how he does it, but he always does it. He always is the first one. We'll get to Savage Dog in just about 15 seconds. Savage Dog has a way. And again, I keep telling you guys all at home, level up, because he's always first at the top of the stack. And so he joins us again. Savage Dog from Georgia, welcome back to the show.
Hey, let me tell you about leveling up. While I was on hold, my phone said nope and quit on me. And I had to call right back. And Matt was Johnny on the spot. Said, no, man, I got you right in the same spot now 15 seconds ago.
I love it. He's holding your spot. Listen, I mean, you belong at the top of the stack.
I don't know. There's a lot smarter people out there than me. But
what's on your mind, my friend?
All right. Well, first of all, Abby Phil or Philip, she's like, I didn't know. I didn't have time to correct it. Well, play the whole clip while Anna Navarro is saying the exact same thing she is. And Miss Abby didn't feel like correcting her. So, you know, you failed on your apology there and your redaction because you knew what you were doing. You even stuttered while you're saying it, knowing that it was horse poop. Horse shiza. And so, yeah, go ahead, Abby Phil. Tell us how you need to keep your job. Anyway, I've heard a couple commentators talk about, you know, how's Iran going to hit California with a drone strike? That's just stupid. It's 10,000 miles away. Well, there's about 4 or 5 years ago, I heard a deep dive report that nobody else heard, that they found Connex boxes in, like, the New Mexico desert, and, like, out in the desert, full of brand-new Chinese, like, surface-to-air missiles, weapons of war, right? So China is losing a lot of oil with our little deal with Iran. They could dress it up as Iranian goat effers out there, you know, firing drones at Los Angeles or wherever. But if those weapons were out there then, I mean, China owns these ports in California. They can bring in whatever they want. They can. It's proven they can. They've got all these military-age men crossing the southern border, which we still haven't addressed and seem to be buried. That story's buried, and which I think is a major story that needs to be addressed. California, keep your head on a swivel. It's possible. That's all I'm saying. Don't listen to the, well, you know, don't go with the normalcy bias. Well, we're America. We can't be attacked. Yeah, you can. Yeah, we can. And it's not just jihadists throwing little stupid, homemade grenades that fail because their genetics are so bad. Family tree goes straight up like in Alabama. Roll Tide. You know, just keep your head on a swivel. It is possible to get these weapons in the United States. I mean, what, 10, 15 years ago, somebody, I think it was, what was that one, what was that really good news site? Help me out, Brianna. I don't know if they're even around him.
Drudge?
No, not Drudge.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Another one. you had four big ones: Drudge, Alex Jones, Glenn Beck, and this other one, Daily Something.
Let's see. The guys in the control room. Do we know? Are you talking about Daily Wire?
No, not Daily Wire.
Oh.
It was what was it? Anyway,
they're still around.
But they reported that there was something reported that there were like 10 nukes that were flown over the border by biplane and like crash landed in the desert,
mm-hmm.
and disappeared. Fareed somebody, it seems like, was the main reporter. Oh man, it's brain fart.
I mean, the control room doesn't even know.
Oh man, that sucks. Anyway, those stories were out there, right? And they were flash in the pan because, you know, they weren't mainstream news and they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So, just because you think that Iran's 10,000 miles away, they can't fire, drones at us. That's all I got to say about that. Oh, by the way, my roast was great at Kingsford Garlic Herb Seasonal. His magic. It's a game changer. Get some.
Well, when you hung up, there was someone who was crapping on you, Savage Dog. They were like, don't get that. I'm like, I will stay out of this one. I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, I know. No, they said don't get food from Family Dollar. Well, yeah, I agree with that. It's all, you know, phosphate garbage. But this is just a seasoning from Kingsford. You know, don't buy anything raw from Walmart, but, you know, go get a box of macaroni and cheese. It's the same as you get at Publix or Kroger or wherever.
Yeah, well, you know, crazy? Savage Dog, I remember, like, 7 years ago when I lived in New York, there was a Dollar General right by me.
Yeah.
Might have been. They were selling like dollar ribeyes, which is wild to me. I never tried it. I assumed it was probably rat and it wasn't beef. But yeah, no, I mean, I guess someone must have been buying because they had a big old sign up in the front of the store and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to chance that one. I'm not going to chance it, Savage Dog. But I'm glad to hear your roast went well.
Dollar General don't sell roast beef. They don't sell raw meat.
They were selling in the freezer section, something like that. It was frozen. And
oh.
I didn't touch it.
Like Steakums or something?
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know what the brand was. I went nowhere near it. That's all I know.
Yeah, no. Anyway.
I'm not a food snob, but that I think might actually be rat. So
you're not a food snob. Let me show you how to make my roast lamb flambé or whatever.
Listen, I went to school for culinary. I wanted to open restaurants, and then I realized how stressful that is, and I realized how heavy the my instructor was, my professor was, of the head chef of my school. I mean, it was literally first semester. I was like, I don't want to just be gaining weight and sitting in the kitchen all day sweating. I mean, I like to do it for my friends and my loved ones, but not for strangers. Oh,
no. No, you do it like I worked at a fine dining Italian restaurant, De Palma's, in Athens, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
go there. It is awesome.
Yeah.
The owner, he didn't go in the kitchen. He sat at the bar. He sat his fat ass at the bar and drank and socialized with the customers.
Savage Dog, we have the Dollar Tree ribeye. It's on the screen right now. I don't know if you could see it.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree.
I don't know about Dollar Tree. I go Dollar General.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, that was it. And I guess it was a dollar. I'm hoping it was a little more. Actually, kind of looks good.
A dollar ribeye is probably a dog. I don't know.
No, not my dogs.
You got some Korean ribeye.
Sounds authentic. My dad served in Vietnam, and that was always his going joke. Was like, I just hope they weren't trying to serve us some cat. So
I was in Okinawa in 1994, and they told us, okay, if you want to go out in town to eat, let us know. We'll tell you where not to go because they will serve you dog and cat.
Oh, my God.
They were dead serious. Oh, yeah. No, that's a thing.
I don't even know how you guys found this video. It's quite impressive. There goes Pikachu. Oh, man. But, it's authentic.
But if you listen to Mel Gibson and the Patriot, dog is a good meal.
Yeah. No, this is why I don't carry for myself, my own personal protection. I actually carry, just for my dogs, for Miss G and Giuseppe. Can't no one mess with them. So.
Well, you know, and I told you like months and months and months ago when your story first broke about the dude, stalking you up your steps.
Yeah.
You get a Roddy. Your Roddy. Yeah. Roddy will protect your little bitty dogs better. Go get him, boy.
Poor Giuseppe. Giuseppe really thinks he's got a fighting chance. He really does. I mean, you should have seen this guy going after a Mastiff. I was like, man, that dog's like a solid 130, Giuseppe, that he's going to outweigh the both of us, and it's not going to be a good look for either of us. I can't even protect you against this one, so can you cut it out? Can you cut it out? But that's the little dog syndrome. He has no idea that he's only 15 pounds. I mean, he thinks he is like a solid buck. I don't know, maybe like a buck. Like a 100 pound dog. He'll take down any dog, and you can't tell him otherwise. You can't tell him otherwise. Yeah.
From what I've heard, Chihuahuas were bred for bear hunting. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Well, I think Giuseppe might be like a part wolf. Honestly, I see him all the time, like walking in like the grass, and he loves higher, like the grass when it's not cut and it's kind of like high up. And he does look like a little bit of a wolf. And so does don't she as well? She's not a real dog. She's a cat. But Savage Dog, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate you as always and hearing from you folks. We're going to be diving into calls over the next, I'd say about 20 minutes. So if you want to join the waits, 877-789-2539. I'll do my best to get down to the caller list and to take your calls, of course. So 877-789-2539 is the number to call if you'd like to join the show. There's a lot happening right now that I wanted to make sure we got to as well. I don't know if you guys saw this story. There's a story regarding apparently drones that were stolen from Fort Campbell. Yeah, apparently this happened. The Army is offering $5,000 for information regarding four drones that were stolen from Fort Campbell. They say the drones were taken anywhere from November 21st to November 24th. It's good to hear about this now, but they've got the images of the suspects. These are the two men that they're looking for. Maybe it's one person. I don't know. Faces covered, which always incites that you're probably a criminal if you wear a face mask these days. Or even during the pandemic, but that's, of course, controversial, but no, they're looking for these guys. If you know, I don't even know. That's so embarrassing. Imagine someone stealing four drones from a military base. I don't even know if I want to put that information out there. Be blunt. I'd be quite embarrassed if I was the Army right now. All right, folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Iodine launch is up right now on thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off for our VIP members. Because we love you. We appreciate you for supporting us. If you're not a VIP member, man, you're really missing out these days. Become a VIP member to get this great discount. Also, if you're not a VIP member, we'll give you 25% off. Not as great as 50, of course, but we still appreciate your support. So head on over to the Alex Jones store and grab that. Also, it is up to 40% off right now. It's our March mega sales going on our supplements. So stop what you're doing and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, Methylene Blue, MK Ultra, so many more are on sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. And until tomorrow, we got a couple more hours left. America 250 shirts, those are up on sale right now, $14.99. at thealexjonesstore.com right now. All right, we'll go back to the calls in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. If you're on hold, stay put. More discuss in a second.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your doc chamber's on. Medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're here. Third hour, final lap of the show. And so we're going to be taking your calls. A lot to talk about. Of course, 877-789-2539 is the number. I'm going to start working my way down the call list right now. Sarah in Pennsylvania, welcome to the show.
Hi, Hey, Brianna, can you hear me?
I can. How are you, Sarah?
Hey, I'm doing good. I just want to first say thank you so much for being like a leading female and just getting out there, being articulate and
thank you, Sarah.
Eloquent, getting the news out. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate you.
One thing that I was wondering with Trump, like I've been on the Trump train. You know, I voted for him 3 times. I don't really understand what's going on with Iran, how he could just do a complete 180. I don't know, because he got impeached, or not impeached. He got indicted for having those classified documents that proved he didn't go to war with Iran. It's like, what the heck happened? They tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. And then it makes me think, like, the MK Ultra stuff. They have mind control from the 70s. Imagine what they have today. I don't know. Yeah. It just makes me wonder if something happened to him the same way that happened to Dan Bongino and Kash Patel. Like, everyone just did a complete 180, and I just feel like they're under some sort of mind control, and that might be really conspiratorial of me, but I don't know. I don't really see any other, like, logical explanation for it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to President Trump right now, I know a lot of us are fired up, Sarah, and I was like, all right, let me hold back my opinion. Let me see what everything kind of rolls out and where we go from here, because I was, you know, waiting for some, like, big report to come out or some big update from, you know, the federal government as to why they thought that the threat was just a couple of days away, and it was a threat that warranted them getting involved, obviously, now in Iran. Obviously, it was very just sudden, so I didn't understand what they had, and we still don't have their information, but obviously, whoever has the ear of the president is someone who has expressed that threat. You know, the president, we played the clip, too. He details who told him about the Iranians, the regime itself, looking to strike the United States and attack the United States, it sounded like. And when he was rattling off names, it was like Jared Kushner, Steve Wolkoff, I believe it was the other name. And there was a couple of other names, but it wasn't like he said the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. I didn't hear him say his name. And so I don't know who has his ear and who's the one pushing him for all of this. So, yeah, I mean, it's deeply concerning, Sarah. I don't really have a defense of what's going on right now in Iran. Obviously, we want the Iranian people to be free, but we also don't want regime change. And although this administration says this isn't about regime change, they say that there's no other option. The regime must surrender completely. And so you could say it's not about regime change. And I do believe that regime change needs to happen. I just don't want my fingerprints all over that as an American. So that's where I stand on all of it still to this day. I'm still kind of, you know, toss up of like, what do I have an aggressive anti-Iranian strike approach to this? Or I don't know. I don't want to see our service members. That's where I stand on all of it. I don't want to see our service members get killed. And so far, I think we're up to what, 7 or 8 right now. And I think 7 of them were active. And that's kind of how they're doing it. There was one individual who was killed, I believe, in Kuwait, but they've labeled it another type of fatality. So the wordage is kind of confusing to me. But again, I don't want to see Americans dying. And that's where I stand on this issue. And so that's kind of how I, you know, maneuver. I know my father sees it differently, too. We were just actually had a discussion about this yesterday. My dad, who has served, he served over in Vietnam, and I'm very proud of his service to this great country. But my dad was does think that the attack in Iran was warranted. And he says, you can't allow these people to strike first, Brianna. And I said, I know, Dad, but like, what proof have we seen? You know, you can't sit here in our generation, you know, people who are in their 30s and their 20s. We grew up in a time where we saw the government lie to us until there was a threat. And so to sit here and to pretend like we're just going to keep buying into that information and allow our government to tell us things that we're just going to all believe it, I can't do that, Sarah. So I'm with you on it. I don't know exactly where to go with this. I'm just anti. I don't want to see Americans dying. That's where I usually fall on this one. Sarah, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. I appreciate the compliment as well. I appreciate you calling in. Let's turn to Michael. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Brianna? How you doing, Sister Christian?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. So I got a few points to make. I'll try and make it fast. So, yeah. One, I can't conceive of any scenario in which Jesus Christ would condone a land grab in Gaza at the expense of human life. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense to me whatsoever as a Christian. Mm-hmm. Second, Alex Jones is absolutely right. The system was designed to fail. You know, the Constitution says that the government's supposed to regulate money, yeah, not borrow it from the Federal Reserve and interest, right? So that's number two. Number three, if you go ask Grok or any AI, you know, go ask any of them, you know, basically it'll tell you, and I could send it to you if you want, that it, the government doesn't care about our Christian ethics, our rights of conscience. It doesn't care. And we are forced to pay, it's not kind of crazy, but, you know, we pay taxes which get used against us. Mm-hmm. I think in the end, what every American is going to have to consider is we're going to have to buck up to a little civil disobedience and consider, after the understanding the ramifications of it, and it could be painful, we have to tighten up the purse strings. They are like crack addicts, Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and it is the money. It's always the money. The Bible says it is. The lust of money is the root of all evil, I believe is what it says. And I think the federal government's way out of control. Alex is right. And Americans really need to start thinking, okay, how, we can't solve the problem through elections. We can't solve the problem that way, because they give us who to vote for. You know, it's a selection process. They determine the pool of people we vote for. And so the misery continues. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, at some point, Americans are going to have to stand up and say, we're not paying you your damn taxes anymore, because you are actually destroying us in, like, so many ways it's not even funny. Courts are corrupt. You know, I mean, absolutely corrupt. The Ninth Circuit's corrupt in a big way. And I just think Americans are sooner or later going to have to realize voting is not the way to solve this. The way to solve this is to take the drug away from the criminals. And we have a lot of bad players in government, as you can tell from Minnesota and whatnot. So that's all I wanted to say. I've been listening to you guys for 15 years. I'll plug your products. They work great. I'm 61. And the products that Alex Jones came up with over the years, I've been taking them, and game changing, man, to the max. Just really want to tell everyone that. And that's about all I had to say. I just wanted to float that out there. You know, stay with Jesus, pray, and understand that it may get really difficult. And Christians may have to stand up and say, look, you don't have the right to step all over my conscience, my ethics, and force me to fund things that are absolutely hideous. Like, I don't know, the whole thing in Gaza. Like I said, Jesus would never, never condone killing kids and bombing kids for a land grab. I'm very disappointed in Mike Huckabee. I don't know what happened to that guy. I don't know what happened to Trump. I voted for Trump 3 times. I've donated thousands to his campaign. I'm an engineer. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, he's gone so far off the rails. I don't know if they have him in a bubble. He doesn't understand the job problem in the United States. American engineering, IT engineering has been decimated. You know, the H-1B visa thing. And really nothing gets done the way it should be to fix those problems. So in the final analysis, Brianna, I believe Americans at some point are going to have to treat the government like a little kid. Say, you know what? You can't have your damn cookies. You didn't earn them. Yeah. That's all I had to say.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I'm on board for that. And that's what Doge was supposed to do. And Doge, they say it's gone into each of these agencies and they have internal Doge divisions, but we haven't heard any movement on that. And so it's been an RIP to the Doge efforts since then. Yeah, no, I'm on board with everything that you just said. I think you speak truth when in regards to all of that. And, you know, you mentioned Mike Huckabee. It's so crazy. I'm glad you said this, too. I actually, when he was nominated to be the ambassador for Israel, I didn't really understand. I don't remember hearing Mike Huckabee ever have like a really strong pro-Israel stance. So for me, I was like, okay, that's cool. Good for him. But then to hear, like, fast forward his discussion with Tucker, it caught me off guard. Didn't sound like the guy that, I've listened to before in the past. I've enjoyed his show. I think it was like a family friendly show. I think it was TNT. So, I have friends who work for him. So yeah, it was all very, very strange. Very, very strange. I think they just got President Trump in a bubble. I think that's where we are with this at this point. Michael, thank you for calling to the show. I appreciate you calling in. I want to play a quick clip for you guys too, since we're on the subject matter of the president. I want to play clip 14 for our audience, because it's President Trump yesterday going after someone who I highly respect. That's Thomas Massie. Take a listen.
But Massie's a complete and total disaster as a congressman and, frankly, as a human being. You know, he's got one thing going. He went to a good college. But I know a lot of stupid people that went to a good college. And my uncle was the longest serving professor in the history of that particular college, university, MIT. 41 years. My uncle was there 41 years. So that means I have much better blood if you go by that. But I went to the hardest college of all to get into, the Wharton School of Finance. That means I'm real smart. We got to get rid of this loser.
Oh, man. Okay, first off, folks, you could disagree with Thomas Massey on some of his political takes. That's fine. That's fine. I don't like the name calling. I'm a little empathetic. I'm very empathetic to Thomas Massey. Why? Well, because obviously his wife passed away, and although he's remarried, the trauma one goes through when losing a life partner like he did is obviously devastating. And so when we talk about Thomas Massey, can we just be a little respectful from that tone? Thomas Massey is a patriot. He loves his country. And I believe that Thomas Massey shares the same end goal. I think his end goal is to save America. And I don't think I've ever seen him say anything that tells me otherwise. I do believe that Congressman Massey is a patriot and he is someone who truly loves his country. And I'm not going to sit here and give up on Massey. I'm not going to tell you you need to replace Massey. No. You know, when a lot of my friends were going through what they were going through, Thomas Massey has stepped up to the plate and helped people independently, privately. So I won't put the information out there, but I'll tell you this. When people were being targeted by the government, when people were ill in our movement, independent journalists, journalists who work for certain entities, he has stepped up to the plate and helped. This is a man of integrity. This is a man who I believe follows his moral compass when he's making his decisions. And I hate to see people going after Thomas Massey. Again, you can disagree with his approach on going after President Trump and challenging him on the Epstein files and whatnot, but the majority of his votes that he casts do, in fact, align with the MAGA movement. I believe his number is like 90%. And so, obviously, when you go out there and you attack people, you call them names, you're going to infuriate them. And so the relationship between Massey and the president, obviously not the best right now. But I'd like the president to refocus his efforts against people who are actually trying to stop his agenda. People who don't align with his agenda. You know, we have so many senators who have withheld votes to confirm his picks. Let's put that energy towards going after them, primarying those people. That's what the president needs to focus on. Not going after Thomas Massey. Thomas Massey's living his best life. He doesn't want Americans to be poisoned by their food. He doesn't want people being targeted by their government. He wants to save this country. And his approach to maybe getting there, his path to getting there might be different than the one you agree with. But I'm all on board for going after pedophiles. And yes, I've been critical, of course. Why didn't he do this under the Biden years? But the president was the one who led the campaign efforts and promised the American people that he was going to do this. And so that's my little rant about Thomas Massey. I appreciate him dearly. I know he does an incredible job and his heart is in this. And he's helped out a lot of my friends and I'm very grateful for his efforts. All right, let's go back to the call list. Now I've given you my my female perspective on all of this. It's very emotional, obviously. Let's go to Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to talk about Islamic terror sleeper cells and potential drone attacks, and then you came across and said four drones are missing from the military base. Interesting. You know, the war on terror and the war on drugs really go hand in hand because I fear a fentanyl-based attack using drones. We're not prepared. I mean, it's so cheap, the fentanyl. They could just wipe out tens of thousands in one shot. And one more thing, the reason incest is illegal in the United States is you get products like these two schmucks that threw the homemade bombs. Thank God they're so retarded they didn't put it together right. Thank you for taking my call. And one more thing, please go to the alexjonesstore.com/redneck with capital R and get the methylene blue because I'm down to one cup of coffee only now. Thanks.
Yes, Bart, you and I both. I don't want to gross anyone out, but my tongue is blue right now because I'm chugging myself some methylene blue in my little side cup over here. You guys probably see it. It's not a Jolly Rancher. No, it's methylene blue. Sorry to be gross. My dad's watching. He'll be very disappointed. That wasn't very ladylike. Bart, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, nothing surprises me these days. Nothing surprises me these days. We're ready on all fronts. All right, let's go to Alex in Northern Virginia. Alex, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning, Alex. Welcome back.
All right. So, 2 Esdras, chapter 6, verse 9. For Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that followeth. It symbolizes the prophetic transition where Esau represents the end of the current age or the world order, while Jacob represents the foundation of the new succeeding age. If you want to know who Esau is, you would have to know who Cain is. If you want to know who Cain is, you would have to know who the Hyksos, who the Gypsies, who the Pharaohs, and a bunch of other people were. And they're all the same people right now that everyone on InfoWars for a week and a half has turned into cousins of the Pelicans. I don't appreciate it. You guys over there are not looking at this the way you're supposed to look at it. Meanwhile, I have to watch Promethean action to get a better understanding of Lloyd's of London and why this was such a great thing for Trump to do, because you guys aren't covering it. The insurance agency that Trump put together to make sure, that's permanent. That's for the United States. That's a win. We got control of the Hormuz. We got control of the Panama Canal. Nobody's talking about that. Why? Iran. You want to know what the definition of forever war is? I'm going to tell you right now. Forever war. A lasting state of armed conflict with no clear end goal, specific victory conditions, or anticipated conclusion. Iran has been a forever war. And every time I hear y'all talk about, we can't do war, we shouldn't do war, you thought the enemy was just going to say, here, take our stuff. You're right. We've been running long enough. Nah, it's your turn to run. Peacefully? Really? What do you do to a bully? You punch him in the fucking mouth.
All right. You're cursing now. We're going to hang up now because you got to watch your mouth. Alex, you are normally very respectful when you call in, but we are on radio, so we can't have that. Let's move on to Jefferson right now in Virginia. Jefferson, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. I'll keep it clean.
It's way too early. I mean, I haven't even had my caffeine yet. I can't handle all that.
I'm right down the street from Alex. I'm going to go pay him a visit.
Thank you. Yeah, whatever he's on, make sure you just swipe it off to the side. He doesn't need any more of that. What's on your mind, Jefferson?
It was 86 degrees here in Northern Virginia yesterday. Today, it's 36 degrees and snowing. Oh. That's Northern Virginia for you in March. But Kristi Noem has two more weeks left at Department of Homeland Security. Could she redeem herself in some way by going through the files and find out whether the Department of Homeland Security had any advanced knowledge of the Sandy Hook shooting before it happened? Wouldn't that be nice to have somebody go look at what Department of Homeland Security knew about the terror attack in Sandy Hook ahead of time?
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson, I don't know if she's going to do that because she's being transferred over to a different position, so I'm sure that's a hot, heated subject matter for her. But have you ever tried, because you could do this actually too, you could try submitting FOIAs for that information to see what other internal information they may have had. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to be as transparent, but, I mean, I do it all the time. Maybe if you want to, and it's just me throwing out an idea out there, you could go to the DHS website. I'm trying to think what agency you would specifically request it from, though. I'm drawing a little bit of a blank.
I wouldn't expect them to be as forthcoming in a FOIA request to a citizen as the head of the department could go through the ranks and say, look, I want you to look into this. If you don't follow my orders, people are going to suffer before I leave here. You know, she has a certain firing capability of the underlings while she's still on the way out. But, Pam Bondi just got moved to a military base here, probably Fort Myer or something, or Henderson Hall. She's not living in D.C. anymore while she's working at DOJ. On the few days she's in town, she's now on a military base living there. And Andrew Bailey, what's he doing? I keep asking. Does anybody know? No. Has anybody seen Andrew Bailey in months? What is going on? Cash Patel, what's he doing about the sleeper cells? You know, if we know where the sleeper cells, the Iranian sleeper cells are, why aren't we rounding them up? Or are they doing it and we just aren't hearing about it? But it just seems like nothing is actually happening here in D.C. and Northern Virginia that's good. Everything gets started, but nothing ever gets resolved.
Yeah. Well, Jefferson, you're not alone on that. I keep asking those questions and I'm not really getting any answers in regards to it. But DHS, the last group of like anyone connected to the Iranian regime being deported, there was three individuals. That press release I was sent over comes to us from January of this year. So that was the last roundup that I've seen. Now I get the press releases. I get the emails that come out whenever there's a big catch or whenever they catch someone who is someone who has a questionable background. I get the emails. So that's the last one I got. And I've tried sifting through my emails to find more. I've asked these also questions. I've asked these questions regarding these sleeper cells. I don't have anything for you. In regards to the Islamic threat, I think our FBI is very focused on the Chinese threat, which is kind of crazy to me, but When I do ask, I've always been pivoted to the CCP, and I get it. It is a threat. I feel like who's going to pop off first right now would probably be the jihadists that we've imported through the Biden regime and other means too. I mean, there's, like I talked about, domestic as well. So there's that. Andrew Bailey, I know, Jefferson, I think the last time you and I spoke, I told you what my sources were telling me, and that he was going to potentially be the individual who is going to take over as the AG. Again, no movement there. I was told he was under the impression that he'd move into the AG slot after 6 months, but that's not happening anytime soon. Looks like still to this day. So, yeah, I don't really know what Bailey's doing. And he came in a position that wasn't even a real position. You know, the co-deputy director, never heard that before. So, Jefferson, yeah, I know. It's kind of frustrating, and I wish I had more answers for you, because I feel like we do this every couple of months where you call in and I've got nothing for you. I try to listen to sources. I know a lot of people who are still working in this administration are really trying, Jefferson, but there seems to be a lot of people holding things up. And that's the part that has me concerned. Yeah, Jefferson.
You did see that even though Cash Patel said the Epstein files did not prove there was any child trafficking going on, the Alexander brothers, three of them, just got convicted in the Epstein files of child trafficking. So is Cash going to call his press conference and explain how he got that wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things that they got wrong. There's a lot of good things that they got wrong. Like even my reporting, Jefferson. I mean, they called it false media reporting, but then they proved it right by a recent FOIA request. But yeah, no, the sex trafficking case, another one. This was the real estate brokers. And I even think, if I'm not mistaken, I feel like I saw them, that Jared Kushner brought them to an event under President Trump's first term, if I'm not mistaken. I feel like I've heard of them before, and it was after they appeared at an event. So yeah, I mean, it's all just sick, Jefferson. It really, really is. And it's upsetting that I can't like give you more positive information. And people just keep saying, you know, trust the process. We're doing things. We're making big moves. People internally who I know over at these agencies are quietly telling me that there's nothing major really happening. And so a lot of people are leaving. A lot of people, good people, people who you and I would greatly appreciate coming out and talking about it, but they're still working in the government, but they're on their way out. It's sad. It's because nobody wants to work in Washington, D.C. It's such a swamp, obviously. So when you sit there and you put away your private sector job for a couple of months and you jump into working for the government, you do it because you believe in your country. You want to serve your country. And unfortunately, they're stonewalling these people. Jefferson, thank you for calling. Everyone is calling. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, though, we are all out of time. You know, 3 hours isn't enough time to do a show, apparently. Apparently, we need more time. For everyone on the lines, thank you very much. We'll keep taking your calls, obviously. Hopefully tomorrow if we got some time, but also next week as well. So we look forward to having you guys call back in. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's a mega sale right now, up to 40% off some of your favorite supplements. That includes NAD+, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, Methylene Blue, and so many other of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have, and it's going to end tomorrow, so if you haven't done it already, do this as well. Add it to your cart. The America 250 shirts, those are on sale right now. $14.99. I actually don't even think I've seen a price that low when it comes to our shirts over at thealexjonesstore.com. So make sure you snag one of these. Again, it's a limited edition shirt, and it ends tomorrow. So before we, you know, sell out of your favorite size that you need, you got to do this now. Thealexjonesstore.com. Also, iodine is launched over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you are a VIP member, we're very thankful for your support, of course, because you help us stay on air. 50% off VIPs. And for everyone else, even if you're not a VIP member, we'll give you a discount too. 25% off for everyone else for supporting the show. All right, folks. That does it for me on the American Journal. By the way, I'm going to be back. I'll be heading on over to the Alex Jones show in just a few moments, so don't go anywhere. We've got more to discuss in a bit.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.